All right. Oh, Jazz Hands. Hornets.
All right. Let me make this go live here. Come on, man. Go live. What's up, guys? How's everyone doing out there in La La Land?
What up? Just over here whistling the theme song to Doug.
Doug.
The ABC vehicle, not the Nickelodeon one. When they changed the theme song. Used to be do 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 do.
Wait, it went from Nickelodeon to ABC?
It may have gotten CBS or ABC. And then it was like do 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 do.
You got that right, Matt? You wrote that down?
How did the Hey Arthur song go?
Oh, Hey Arthur! I never watched Hey Arthur. Couldn't stand it. Sick of them. Hate them all.
What kind of animals are they?
They're humans.
Hey Arthur is not humans.
Yeah, it's football head.
That's Hey Arnold.
Oh, would you say Hey Arthur?
Isn't Hey Arthur, or is it just Arthur?
It's just Arthur.
Is it just Arthur?
Arthur's like a squirrel, wasn't he?
You're confusing squirrel? Arthur and Hey Arnold.
Yeah, yeah. I was going. My question was more towards the Arnold. I understand Hey Arnold was humans, but what was Arthur?
Arthur was a mongrel, I believe.
No? And it was a squirrel. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the Bizarre Doug one from Disney.
Yeah.
That's not
Arthur,
bad.
Arthur is an aardvark, isn't he? I feel like I just had this conversation with
him. Is
somebody.
He an aardvark?
Aardvark? No.
Anteater?
He might be an anteater. Yes, Arthur the anteater. 100%.
Those are short noses for an anteater.
I'm just going with it.
He's an aardvark. Oh, plus one KJG.
That was double T.
Oh, plus one double T. Sorry. 25 seasons of this damn show.
Yeah, they were.
Arthur or Hey Arnold?
Arthur. Arthur's theme song was Believe in Yourself by Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers.
Yeah. That was a PBS vehicle, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Television Network.
It is the third longest running animated series in the U.S. behind only South Park and The Simpsons.
Oh, get out of here. You're telling me like Blue's Clues didn't beat that out?
No.
Or SpongeBob?
No. No, SpongeBob was like in the late 90s. No, SpongeBob was like the 2000s, wasn't he?
Is SpongeBob still on?
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to watch it. 1999. Well, no, the original SpongeBob run, I think, is over. Now it's like a whole bunch of different spin-offs.
Oh, okay.
Shit like that.
So it took a little hiatus, a little Terry Funk powder.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like different versions of it. There's like a Patrick Stowe, and there's like SpongeBob some shit or other. There's like they split it all up. Oh yeah, Camp Coral, which is kind of like a claymation. Then there's the Patrick Star show.
Oh.
There's a whole bunch of different.
Who lives nonsense. In a body bag under the sea?
Darby Allin.
Lacey Peterson.
Well, she wasn't a body bag. I thought he fucking drove a car off a cliff or some shit.
It was just a joke.
I know, you're improvising. I get it.
Who lives in a body bag under the sea?
I think Darby Allin works better there.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. What are we going to do? We're talking about kids' cartoons. It's awesome.
Alpha is back in the hospital because he took a bad fall.
Under the sea.
Not the time, KJG.
I love Alpha.
Under the sea.
No, you're right.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
So, hey, you know, what's going on? How's everybody doing tonight?
Still recovering
from
that Alpha line.
Fucking great. I love
fucking
it. What makes you great?
Fucking great.
Freaking great.
You okay, Toshiro?
Freaking great. Oh, just feeling good, man. Just feeling good. I'm good. A nice weekend. How are you?
Great.
Freaking great.
Dare I say, Grape Ape.
Grape Ape. You drinking one of those tingly C4s?
I am. Don't fucking shake your fucking head at me. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, how dare you, HK, with your whale fucking hat on.
Your whale hat?
Hartford, the whale?
That's Whalers.
No, that's a, God, Mallrats line. Yes,
Hartford,
it was.
The whale?
Yes.
I'm not disputing that, I just can't remember it.
It was the beginning when Brody was playing ice hockey on the place on the Sega Dreamcast, not Dreamcast, Jesus, Genesis. The Whale was beating somebody. I forget who they were beating. Yeah. Yeah. But it was a hockey contest because the Whalers played hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My man. What was the reasoning for your silence during our pre-show nothing?
What are you talking about? I was talking the whole time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kayfabe, I like it.
Kayfabe Tony. What?
You don't kayfabe us, Tony.
Do you know what team the Hartford Whalers became?
Wow. This is interesting, because I did, and I don't remember it off the top of my head. Did they move? Did they become the Yellow Jackets?
How about this? Let me give you a little hint. How about the name is also a name of a former professional wrestler and former guest of the show?
Oh, jeez. The Austin Theories.
Oh, geez, was my favorite.
Motspot gave me a clue. I'm going to say is it the Hurricanes?
Hurricanes? Stand back. Actually, he may not have been a guest, but he has a shirt pick.
Oh, he's
a guest.
He's a guest, yeah.
Yeah, I think Carolina he was. I know straight up he was on the show, at least in comment form. He's listened in before.
He came on right after he was in the Royal Rumble, I think.
That's right. He did. 100%. Nailed it. Boom. And we talked about it. Sure did.
Yeah, somebody asked him if he preferred to be called by some name, and he was like, no. I remember that got a chuckle. A chortle. What name? Sugar? I forget. I don't know. Listen, there's a lot of fucking things going on up here. Isolate that, Eric Fried, you fucking freak.
The understatement of the year.
What?
A lot of things going on up here.
He looked up. He looked up when you put the one on the thing. Holy shit. That got me. I'm like, wait, did I say that? I'm into wearing shirts that pee-pee.
Wearing shirts that pee-pee?
Doesn't make
nobody sense. Asked you!
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Easy. Nobody gives a shit, bro. Relax.
That's fair.
Easy. Well, we got a fun show planned for you guys tonight. We got a hand job, Kyle. Not hand. Damn it. I fucked up the gimmick. HJC.
It doesn't matter. Nobody asks what HJC is anyway. It's the last gimmick. He's hand job
HJC
Kyle.
With Kyle from the Apron Bump coming in hot tonight. Ooh, we're talking about Kyle. The CEO, Miss Money.
Really?
And her AEW. Oh. The people I go out to the bar with Wednesday night.
Oh, boy.
Hate when I burp into the microphone.
Well, tell Aunt Money he can go back to his own show and do whatever he wants.
So I don't go out. The people I go out to the bar with, Jesse and Harry.
Balls?
They're not wrestling fans, but they listen to the show.
And they don't like when you burp?
They don't. I believe Harry doesn't like when I, or Jesse, one of them. One of them doesn't like when I burp into the microphone.
So you're on a Wednesday routine now. I thought you were a Thursday guy.
Yes, we switched back to Wednesday. We're back to Wednesdays now because it's the only night of the week my wife is off. So
you whip him out Wednesday?
Yeah, whip him out Wednesday.
Fuck yeah.
All right, so HJC with Kyle. Dave Sturcio, you may know him as Dave Destruction, owner of Chop Sports Media.
It's a hand job kind of night, isn't it?
Co-owner of... Fight Factory Wrestling, their big show coming up in July at Martell's Tiki Bar in Point Pleasant. War on the Shore.
Oh, shit. I have to add the thing. Keep talking.
Dave's going to join us at 7:45, talk a little bit about that. We go way back with Dave. Maybe we could like use old Dave Destruction episodes to blackmail him into giving us free stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like
really?
Thinking of an angle. What? Oh, really? What?
Talk about it on air. The people who know.
Oh.
Wait, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Is it lost in the ether? Is Voldemort involved in it?
No.
All right.
Yeah, no, that's starting no trouble. Dave's a friend and he's a guest and we're going to have fun tonight. That's all.
Great guy.
We're going to have a great time. I wasn't starting trouble.
If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had that opportunity with the Busted Open crew. So shout out to Sturch.
Shout out to Sturge. We're going to talk WrestleMania. We're going to talk Dark Side of the Ring. We're going to talk some AEW. We're going to talk... I do want to talk. I got to write this down because it wasn't in the notes.
Wait, we got notes today?
Come on, man. Brundo fucking crushes it every time.
No, I know, but I was on the toilet before, and I'm like, I don't think Brundo sent notes. But then again, I got fucking 5,000 emails today. So it might have gotten lost, as you say, in the ether.
Oh, in the ether. Did I say it wrong?
No, you're fine. Just Uncle Tony was a little busy today, so there you go.
It is not in the notes, so we have to talk more legal jargon, Tony. I don't know if you've seen it. While we're doing the show, Tony, if you can find the BJ Whitmer NDA.
Oh, wait. It came out?
Yeah, and if you can't find it, I'll send it to you. Because Tony Khan AEW paid somebody a lot of money to sign an NDA, so this would go away.
Yeah. Friend of the show, BJ Whitmer.
Not good, my friends. Can't beat the shit out of a lady and then have the rich guy pay her off so she won't talk about it. Not a good move. Let's not pretend that all the bad stuff's going on over here, because clearly something's going on over here.
Oh, my God. The people online were like, oh, you're going to watch a show about rapists and this. Yeah, you know what, dude? It happens everywhere. Don't kid yourself.
So, and we're going to laugh. We're going to cry.
Mm-hmm. Cry?
I don't know. Maybe.
I might cry.
I don't know. We might laugh so hard that we cry.
Oh, that I believe. Okay. I'm down with that.
Right? Like,
that was me watching Dark Side when Slick Rick Johnson or whatever the fuck his name is talking about walking in Buff Bagwell's house, catching his mother shaving his balls.
Holding up his
See,
Johnson.
I'm a week behind. I finally watched the John Tenta one, and not going to lie, when you're 6'7 and you marry a 4'11 Asian woman, those wedding pictures look a little strange.
Especially when they're the same height in some of them.
Oh, yeah.
They just match up.
Yeah, Tony also said this about John Tenta's wife.
The Uchi Coochie section.
Not nice.
Wow. Yeah.
What?
Not nice.
Not nice. So.
Well, if we're playing not nice, I think Matt said this about John Tenta's wife.
Well, we have a great show for you guys tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be fantasticals.
Dave Stern.
And it's
here.
Yes, and it's all here. It's next. It's episode 681 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Hello, this is King Kong Bundy. And you're watching The Shining Wizards. Not fucking dead, I'm alive. And you're watching The Shining Wizards.
You are tuned in live to episode number 681 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Coming to you live on social media, going with you wherever you go on all the streaming and podcasting platforms that exist on the planet Earth. We already had the camaraderie and the friendship before the intro, so let's just jump right into some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Crisscross applesauce, Tony.
Matt.
And some Kevin.
KJG.
Can I just tell you I'm an idiot? I put together that Mike Peterson intro and I realized I used the wrong producer slide, so now I got more editing to do. Well, yay me!
Yeah, you. Tony, I sent you a text. I put it in the Discord the BJ Whitmer thing.
Good, because I wasn't having much luck looking for it immediately. So
we got Handjob Kyle's going to join us shortly, but we gotta start. I know we usually do like how you're doing all this bullshit, but Tony said we covered all the basics earlier. Handsome Kevin, every Monday, Year of Duke and Rogue dropping. I gotta. I'm only about 40 minutes in, man, but your fucking take on Miss Elizabeth is a pile of steaming dog shit, dude.
Whoa, wait a fucking second. Can you elaborate?
You seem to think Slick would be more of a secret weapon than Miss Elizabeth, but Miss Elizabeth and her granny panties in 1988, it was not something we were seeing on TV at the time. So for the Hulkster and the Macho Man to use the secret weapon, of her little coolie, to get the sexual juices flowing for DiBiase, Virgil, and Andre, that's why she's the secret weapon.
No. Fuck that. Wrong again.
Slick. Slick's the guy. Slick never managed a champion. Slick was fucking Liz useless. Slick was useless.
She does fucking nothing.
Liz does everything. She holds the rope. She holds the ropes open for the Macho Man.
Here's the point that I made in picking Elizabeth over Slick. Elizabeth has managed world champions.
She had nothing to do with it.
At least twice. Listen, there's a reason why Macho Man turned down every single other heel manager and went with Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, Bam Bam Bigelow turned down every heel manager and went with Oliver Humperdinck.
Well, you that just means Elizabeth better than Oliver Humperdinck.
No.
Kevin, I need to hear your exact take. Well, yeah, I know he's listening to the podcast, but I need to hear it now.
She doesn't.
He made fun of Liz's granny panties. That's what
she doesn't. I did not do that. She doesn't do a fucking thing, man. If I'm a wrestler, I want a manager that's going to do fucking something out there. She doesn't do anything. Nothing. Matilda did more than she does.
That's a great point. I'm not going to lie. I'm more inclined to agree with HK.
My man.
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, when she was a heel manager, she was instant distraction for the babyface.
But she wasn't Macho Man would heel.
Yeah, but Macho Man would powder, hide behind her, you know.
Yep, but she didn't do anything.
She didn't want to do that.
Maybe or she did. She? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, she didn't.
No.
Nah. I'm with HK on this. Slick is way more of an asset than Miss Elizabeth was.
Slick was the shit.
Yeah, Slick was worthless as a manager, honestly.
What's that?
What?
He was worthless. What, name one champion he managed.
Lights out, the party's over.
Perhaps he didn't manage the best talent, but his managing skills are far superior to Liz.
Right. No, they're not. That's not his problem. Oh, the wrestlers hired him to be their manager.
Right.
And he couldn't manage them to shit.
Well, why couldn't Liz get another gig?
She didn't want another gig.
No. That's not the job of a manager.
She managed Ric Flair in WCW. Oh.
All right, we're not talking about that run now. Now we're getting somewhere else.
88.
Yeah, look at the success of the managers, right? Everybody, Heenan, he never had a world champion. Don't even tell me Andre was the world champion because he wasn't. I don't recognize it.
He wasn't managing Andre at the time.
Right? Rude, maybe, IC was the IC champion and perfect, and he had a couple tag teams, but he was spread out.
Brainbusters, are you kidding me?
I said a couple tag teams.
A couple tag teams. Put some respect on that shit, bro.
He was spread out. He was spread too thin. That's why they didn't have long title runs. Slick didn't manage dog shit.
He had Bundy and Stud. What are you talking about?
Bundy and Stud weren't tag team champions.
They were like the most fearsome tag team since Kamala and Sika.
What is that? Okay. Fucking Boogeyman was scary. He never was a fucking champion.
And Paul Orndorff tied in that cage match. So don't you tell me Heenan didn't almost have a world champion. Here. He beat Hogan in the CNE Expo Center in Toronto, sir.
Elizabeth was smart. She stuck to one guy.
She was with Hogan. What are you talking about, bro?
Was she with Hogan?
Was with Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire, for Christ's sake.
All right, first of all, she's not making fucking Scott Boras money here, all right? Pump the brakes.
Let me ask you this. All right, let's run down the managers of that era, and let's see who you would put Liz above. All right, so Slick, obviously, me and HK agree with Slick. Tony, where do you stand on Slick?
You agree with Slick for what?
That is better manager than Liz.
Nope.
Better asset than Liz.
Nope.
In 1988,
I agree with Matt.
100%. Liz doesn't even fucking talk.
All right.
Nothing. You get nothing from her.
She used to say, "You're hurting me, Randy."
I need to know.
She became Southern manager. Right.
So, all right.
Told Hogan to go help Savage. Of course she talked.
I'm trying to think how many heel managers actually managed world champions in that era.
Slick's biggest claim to
fame. Classy Freddie Blassie did.
He's long gone.
No, Blassie managed the Sheik in 83 and 84. That's not exactly.
We're talking about 89, 90.
We're talking 88 here, folks.
Okay, and? Who was managing?
Slick's biggest claim to fame was taking One Man Gang, turning him into fucking Akeem. Okay?
Brother!
The African Dream.
Brilliant.
And they had one main event match with the fucking Mega Powers on Saturday night's main event. That's the height of his manager.
Brilliant.
Career.
No, they wrestled the Rockers at WrestleMania 5, didn't they?
It's not fucking me. Come on.
What? That was a great match.
Curtain jerk in Mania 5 or main event with the Mega Powers? Come on.
Wrestled Boss Man at 6.
Nothing. Huh? Nothing. Fat nothing burger for Slick.
Yeah, I agree. Slick
the
is
shits.
A zero.
His best opportunity, Power and Glory. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yep. The Warlord?
The Warlord was the drizzling shits when he was on his own.
Yeah.
All right.
Paul Roma.
Who was better? Slick or Harvey Whippleman?
Slick.
No, because Harvey Whippleman had a world champion, Bertha Faye. Better than Slick.
No fucking way.
Better than Slick.
Oh.
Can we ask HJ, HJK?
You know who I've become a big fan of recently is Fat Teddy Long as a manager.
Jim Powers.
Teddy Long.
Jim Powers, yeah.
Hard work, Bobby Walker. Mid-90s.
Goat.
Fat Teddy Long was very underrated.
Handsome Kevin, even your boy Al Day.
I know what fucking Tropic Al says. That's because he's got a fucking moon stem for fucking Mach. That has nothing to do with Liz.
Moonstem.
A moon stem for Mach. Kev, write that down.
On it. You're on it. Moon stem for Mach. Elizabeth. Moon stem for Mach.
I like
Miss
it.
Elizabeth, she was the sensual side, the soft side, the good side for the Macho Man. She had
a
role.
Make her good at her job.
She was great at her job. He was a champion.
She didn't do fucking anything. She couldn't even talk. During promo show, yes, Randy. Oh, yeah. I can
that was her role.
No, she sucked.
No.
She stood outside. She didn't do a goddamn thing.
She did not make me believe that she was a manager. She was a valet. Nope. How about that? Boom.
Uh-huh.
Nailed it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
How about that, bro?
Matthew Birch, when you really think about it, Elizabeth never really did anything of note as a manager. Like, she kind of just was there for most of her run.
And she never looks like she wants to be there.
Like, Sherry. Now, if you want to give me Sherry, I'll give you Sherry over Slick.
Scott George, Savage was a womanizer. Liz was too afraid to say anything. Savage was so wired, he would have beat her up, too. Easy, yeah. Scott George.
Oh, no.
Easy.
Probably would have.
Jesus Christ, KJG.
What did I say? I don't even remember what
said
I
said. He probably would have. You don't remember.
Madness. Yeah.
You know.
We're gonna circle back. We're gonna come back to this at some point tonight and finish this hot button topic. But Kyle from the Apron Bum Podcast and joining us. It's HJC. Kyle, you put a clip up of Handsome Kevin and this is another thing. This is like talk about fucking Handsome Kevin's podcast today and Handsome and Kyle stuff. What is Duke wearing, bro? Is he wearing a fucking cowboy hat?
Yep.
Is it a cowboy hat, though? It's like one of those modern hats that girls wear, you know? Like the, what do you call it?
A bucket hat?
No, man. It was like a cowboy hat.
I guess
I thought it was more Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's like he goes on a lot of adventures.
Yeah.
I just need to know, was Duke wearing his cowboy boots to match the cowboy hat?
He was not, from what I remember, yeah.
Boo. Yeah. Boo is right.
I thought too.
I like
that. Well, what are you, so you guys are what, doing mind games?
Little mind games action. Little HBK Mankind, little Jose Lothario.
Oh, I know the fucking
Jim
car.
Cornette.
I got fucking SummerSlam 96, and this fucking guy gets mind games.
The follow-up, yeah, a little 1-2 punch, if anybody wants to go listen. SummerSlam was a doozy, too. I don't even remember what happened on that show. What happened on that show?
So we're not, you know, we're not here to talk about SummerSlam.
SummerSlam 96 or 90? Oh,
right. We're here to talk about Miss Elizabeth.
No, we're here to talk about the CEO of AEW.
C-E-O. It's a good song, right? CEO.
It's
Come
a
on, everybody.
Excuse me?
Oh. No, CEO.
The song is atrocious.
Yeah, it's very bad.
I kind of wish she had the other one where it was like, money.
Money. I liked it. I had a good beat to it, at least.
The money one or the new one?
The money one. No, the one time you said that it sounded like the gangsters dubbed over music. It's like, now I can never hear anything else whenever I'm watching ECW on Peacock. Spot on. Spot on, sir.
So you seemed excited to talk about Mercedes Moné. Big business for AEW.
Is it big business, though? Seems like medium business, maybe indifferent business. Who's with me?
Mediocre business. Yep.
That's right.
No, didn't she say? Did she save Willow at the end of the show? She didn't look like she really wanted to save her.
I think so. My theory is that she's inserting herself into the TBS title picture to elevate that title, which is why I think she kind of saved Willow there. More as a face-off against Julia, the champion now. I don't know what you guys think on the situation, but overall, I thought it was a fine debut, but I'm not, you know, exploding into my pants like a lot of people are about it, you know?
You want to know what I thought? I thought the second she opened her dumb mouth and said she was going to go back to WWE one day, they should have kicked her to the fucking road, dude. Fuck that nonsense. Yeah, I'm going back to WWE. Oh, yeah? Rescinded. Hit the bricks, woman.
No, they're not that dumb.
I think she was already signed when she said that.
Yeah, idiot. Pull the contract. That's all. Breach.
What?
Breach.
Breach.
How does
telling somebody what I'm doing tomorrow affect what I did yesterday?
Oh, come on. You're going to compare like having breakfast tomorrow with I'm going to go work for the competition tomorrow? Come on, man.
Come on. First of all, AEW is not a competition.
Oh, shots fired.
It's not wrong.
It's definitely not for her to say like, yeah, I'm going back to WWE someday.
She didn't say she was going back. She said she sees herself going back one day, which means that she would like to put a bow on her career, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah, someplace other than where she's working now.
But not tomorrow.
Oh, come on, dude. Don't defend that shit.
Are you really fucking picking nits about what she said in a fucking
Yes!
Interview?
You know what she should have did? I'm happy to be in AEW. I can't wait to teach these women a wrestling lesson. Yeah. I can't wait to win all these championships. That's what you do when you sign a multi-bazillion dollar contract with a company. You don't go, yeah, this is fine for now, but eventually I want to go back to my old employee who didn't give a fuck. Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, Tony. She said that too.
Who? What?
She said that.
She said she was happy to be there.
Yeah, but she. How could you be happy to be somewhere when you're like, yeah, I can't wait to leave this fucking place?
Well, never said that.
Oh, yeah, just she did. When she said, I'm going back to WWE, she might as well have fucking stuck it right up his old keister.
How unhappy can you be when you sign a multi-year deal? Why would you be there for a while? The fact
that she mentioned it says that she's not happy. The boo-boo fucking job face when she was in the ring shows that she's not happy.
This is the worst take you've ever had ever.
Well, stick it up my ass and call me Charlie.
I would love to, but maybe.
I'm just going to drop fucking sound bites all fucking night. Eric Freed, I hope your fucking hand doesn't have a cramp.
Maybe by going back to WWE, maybe she wants to bring everyone together because AEW is the only thing that can make women's wrestling global.
She can bring my balls together under her chin.
Well, that's not
easy.
Very nice.
Easy.
I'm just going for sound bites, sorry.
All right, take it easy, Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me the fucking panda bear on the phone. I need to craft an apology.
Sammy Guevara. We all played Call of Duty, right, back in the day? We all said those things about people.
Some of us still do, playing new games.
Yeah, you know. What happens offline, you know what I'm saying?
HJ, let me throw this at you real quick with the old Sasha Banks booking, or Monet, yes, if you will. How do you feel about her becoming the first AEW double champion of the women's division?
Oh,
I'm almost always in opposition to double champions, whether it's in wrestling or like mixed martial arts. I always hate the Because it's always for the aesthetic, right? Everybody wants to carry around multiple titles, but functionally, it's just stupid. Because, like, why would you defend one title, not the other? Right. What, do I got to lose both titles at the same time? It just creates a whole lot of nonsense. But no,
Mentioned her going for the TBS title seemingly to elevate Julia Hart, elevating that division, making women's wrestling on the mid-card, that's no disrespect, air quote mid-card level, big. But I feel like the end game is her being the champion, the face of that women's division. So my only thing is, like, you put her with Julia Hart, win that belt, and then you go to Wembley maybe, and then have her beat Timeless Tony, and then you just have, like, a complete... I just thought of this while we were recording. So
another,
like,
tournament.
Another tournament. That's right. There you go. How do you feel about that? No good?
Yeah, I mean, look, if she's going to be there for years, you know, let's say 5 years her contract was, like, no need to, like, throw all the – no need to blow your load right away, you know? So I think, you know, win the TBS title, elevate that championship. I always – because, like, with any mid-card, mid-tier title, I think you should differentiate it from the world title. How do you differentiate it? You can maybe make it, like, the work rate, quote-unquote, title, where it's, like, bare-bones story and more, like, extended matches. Maybe – I don't know. But, I mean, we have, like, Deonna Purrazzo there, Serena Deeb. You have a really talented roster of women that don't get a lot of time. Maybe just try to establish another division to help grow that division. Because otherwise, you know, because lack of talent has never been the problem with the women's division. It's just how it's portrayed. So I think that would be a good step in that direction.
Yeah, it's never been the problem with AEW, to be honest. It's just
no,
the
they have a stacked women's roster. It's just, you know, you got to watch Rampage or fucking Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and they're all not very good. Let me ask you this. Isn't Cheeseburger Eddie defending one of those three belts that he carries around now against somebody?
Fucking started on the Triple Crown, dude. I still don't understand if the Triple Crown means all three belts or if it's just that one continental belt.
Here's the thing. Eddie likes Japanese wrestling. They wanted to make it look like he was some sort of, like, old school All Japan star, so they put three belts on him. Ta-da!
Yeah.
Great point, Tony.
It is very so. Eddie is defending the Continental Championship against Okada Wednesday night.
The one that he won in the tournament.
And he is defending the Ring of Honor title against Mark Briscoe at Supercard of Honor.
I hope Mark Briscoe wins.
And I don't think New Japan Strong is still a thing anymore, so I'm not entirely sure.
Maybe does Gabe Kidd win that? I loosely follow New Japan. That seems like a good candidate to take that belt, though.
Gabe Kidd is re-signed. That would be a great move. A great move for New Japan to put a title on somebody who actually works for fucking New Japan.
Well, you're being fucking crazy there, Matthew. You want Ring of Honor champions on Ring of Honor? You want New Japan champions on New Japan? I mean, you're just talking crazy.
I'm asking for a lot here. But did you... So back to Monet before Tony fucking loses his mind again. You were okay with the debut, though?
Yeah, like, it was fine for what it was. It was a fine introduction. Do I have, like, high hopes of her just creating this new AEW? Is she going to lead AEW into the future? Like, no, she's going to become Edge in a few weeks. She's going to be Jay White or whoever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, I think, I like Mercedes in the ring. Whenever she opens her goddamn mouth, I want an anvil to fall from the sky and land on her. I don't know what it is about her. Her voice irritates me. What she says irritates me. Her movements, her face, her hair, the stupid hair. What is this? What, guys?
Hair, dude.
Oh, come on! Don't even get me started on the hair.
Go ahead.
Let's say, what about grabbing the cheap Eddie pop and then also claiming that she started women's revolution?
Suck my balls.
You can. Look, suck
she
my,
really say
my
that?
Balls.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, see, these guys are talking about sucking balls, but I got yelled at earlier. What gives?
I mean, how many times can I say fucking easy?
I don't know. Fucking easy.
Fucking easy.
At least you didn't stutter it.
It's pretty fucking easy, Matt.
They can say sucking balls. You said put my balls on her chin.
Balls on the chin.
Keep it vague.
Well, my
balls
would not be in her mouth, as opposed to these two gentlemen saying that she could suck on my balls.
Please stop.
Yeah, his butt would be in her mouth.
Yeah, she could smell my fucking Italian hiney hole.
That's gabagool right there hanging out of it.
Holy Christ.
Italian hemorrhoids.
What the fuck is going on here?
Huh? Don't encourage him.
You know what they call an Italian suppository, right, handjob Kyle?
No, tell. Why don't you tell me?
An innuendo.
Oh, hey, come on.
Comedy Magomedy. Oh, shit.
We like to have fun here.
Of course we do. It's we all do. Good times.
Yeah. Now, my question is,
let Mercedes Moné win all the titles she wants. God bless her. God bless Mercedes Moné. I say that right now.
FTW title?
Here's my
All of them. Who the fuck is Hook?
Look, I got to take a time out on this conversation. The chat. This watermelon head, Christopher Suarez, he writes the same comment on every one of our YouTube videos. Ban this fucking...
Really? Man.
Yeah, you're gone.
Well, what's he saying?
He says this HB, Kevin Nash, Undertaker, Madison Square Garden, 2005. I don't know if he has fucking Tourette's, if he just fucking hits this copy-paste on everything. I don't know what's wrong with him. Stop.
What a hilarious
you're fucking
form
annoying.
Of Tourette's.
That wasn't very nice, bro.
I'm not a very nice person when people do stupid shit.
He wasn't, like, saying anything mean. He was just,
He posts the same fucking thing on every single one of our YouTube videos. There's no context to it. He's just fucking
Some people say we've done
there.
The same thing for 681 episodes. What's the fucking difference?
Well, stop listening. I don't know what to tell you. Kyle.
What's up?
Here's what I don't understand, right?
Oh, here we go.
There's a history between Mercedes and Willow, which I guess they're going to try and play up now. But going into Wednesday night, also, I thought it was fucking cheese dick that Willow and Rio were going to be the fucking main event over Joe and Wardlow.
That one in there, huh?
Could you make it any more obvious that she was coming out at the end of the night when she was like, and the main event tonight? All right, fucking stop. I left. I was going out, and like 5 minutes into her promo, I left. I didn't give a shit what she had to say. She bored me. But I thought Willow and Stokely and Chris Statlander, they're heels. So why is Willow raising her fucking hand at the end of the night?
Because it's AEW.
Are they heels?
Sorry.
I don't think they're heels.
They want Chris Statlander to cheat to win.
Well, Stokely is a heel, but Statlander is not.
Willow threw her the fucking thing the other night when they were out there last week when they were wrestling Rio, right? And she wouldn't use the chain. And then Willow said, I'll show you next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can make the case for like almost all of the, like, what is Blackpool Combat Club? What is Brian Danielson? Heel or babyface? I need to, like, I don't fucking know.
In the story they're telling, it's pretty important to figure out what the fuck they're doing. No?
They're not telling the story.
Nope.
Guys, just sit back and watch wrestling.
Right here.
Right here.
Oh, hey, good girls can be naughty too, Matt, is my answer to that.
Okay, that's fine, but then I don't understand why she's raising Mercedes' hand.
Maybe she likes the way her armpit smells.
That's a good point. What do we think her armpits smell like?
Probably cheeseburgers if Willow was holding her hand up.
Okay.
Oh, God.
What the fuck are you doing tonight?
Comedy Magomedy.
He comes in with like really good stuff and then he does that.
What the fuck? Do you not want, are you trying to like destroy the show in one
no,
episode?
I'm having fun. Come on, a couple laughs.
Jesus
oh boy.
Christ. I'm surprised Dave hasn't sent me a message like, I'm not coming on your
show. I'm doing this to somebody, I'm leaving you guys
listening?
Behind.
Well, I'll try to get the trains back on the track here. Speaking of cheeseburgers, do you?
Ooh.
This has nothing to do with cheeseburgers. So Mercedes Moné comes in, right? Gonna change the women, evolve the women's division, change women's wrestling. What are the odds that we get maybe an all women's TV show at some point for AEW?
Oh, just nobody's gonna fucking watch that.
Put on the Friday slot, 10 p.m. Everybody's gonna be sitting down by the camera.
Nobody watches fucking WoW.
I watch WoW.
Shut up, Tony.
No, I love WoW.
Right? Don't sit there and be like, I want an all-women's wrestling show, like all you fucking dorks on the internet, but you don't watch WoW. It's free. It's on like whatever fucking local cable channel you have at whatever podunk fucking town you live in, but you don't want to watch it because there's no big names. Newsflash, Heidi Howitzer's on the show. Fucking Holly J, whatever the fuck her name is from that OVW
documentary. J. Hollywood Haley J.
Jesse Smothers is on the fucking show. Don't tell me you want an all-woman show and you're not watching WoW, you fucking hypocrites.
Ooh, look at But maybe AEW fans will have that easy access, you know, an easy transition, you know, because they don't want to look up things, have to install an app or whatever the fuck, you know. Maybe just, you know, tune in to TNT on Fridays. Get all your clams in one show.
I don't want it. Well, nobody watches Rampage. You think people are going to watch fucking an hour women's wrestling?
Well, it's because Rampage is just, it's not a different show. It's just another show that is not canon really to the universe for the most part. If you have an all women's show, you might be incentivized to watch. I wouldn't watch it, but you might be incentivized to watch it.
Just so you know,
fucking Ring of Honor.
And I've only found from November and December, but it looks like WOW averages probably about 260,000 views per episode, and that might be first run on CBS. It doesn't really, because WoW's available in a lot of places at a lot of different time slots, so it's like all over the place. This can't be total viewership. It's probably when it airs on CBS, but who knows? Like, it could air in different places in different markets as well. So.
WoW airs on CBS?
Yes.
I think it's CBS, yeah.
No, I didn't
know
that.
It's a Genie bus vehicle.
I watched it on Vice. Isn't it on Vice, too?
It's on everything.
I got it on the CW out here.
UPN. Got it.
Yeah. It's literally everywhere.
Wow. I didn't realize it was on channel, wow! New York, channel 2. Like,
yeah, because I tried to get somebody on the show, and they told me I had to go through
CBS. Through CBS Broadcasting.
Yeah, CBS Media.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that ratings, I mean, that ratings sounds similar to like TNA.
Yeah, and it doesn't lie about what it is either, you know? Like, it's got wrestling action, it's got cheesy interviews, it's got backstage stuff, and, you know, it's an homage to what GLOW was in the 80s, just they stepped it up a couple notches. And I've told HK before, is the wrestling the best? No. Is it like, you know, like one of these shows you'd put up against WWE or even AEW? No. But for what it is, in that microcosm, I enjoy it. Yeah, it's not trying to be something it's not, you know? Like, it is what it is, and take it or leave it.
Nice.
Kind of like a farm system for just women, you know?
And they tell stories, man. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a gimmick. Everybody's got a background, where they came from, what they're trying to accomplish.
And it looks, I was looking at the roster, it seems like a handful of them are of Italian descent. So perhaps that's why you're so into it, Tony.
We found it out.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
Big Coach Campanelli fan?
Bro, of course. Why do you get aggravated? Just watch wrestling. Just watch wrestling, bro. That's what they tell us.
Who?
Who? Everybody.
Enjoy all wrestling.
Yeah, just enjoy it, man.
I enjoy the inside of my butt.
Wow. That's not
very nice.
Wow, really? That's we're going there?
Nice. Kyle, this is always a pleasure when you join us for HJC. What was that?
And he looks like a black lab's dick.
What are you saying? HK, why are you interrupting Matt?
Kim Hong Un. Kim Hong Un.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Before you go, the broadcast says hi.
Howdy. Howdy, Tom Down Under.
Those are good dudes.
Lovely blokes.
Sucking my dick.
That's a great drop, by the way.
Wow.
The video that goes along with it is so good, too.
Oh.
Well, Kyle, this is always a pleasure. Can you tell the people where they can find you and your comedic stylings of the wrestling talk?
Comedic stylings.
I think you're a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, that makes one. But yes, you can enjoy my comedic stylings every Wednesday or whenever. The Apron Bump Podcast. Cover a lot of retro wrestling. Hey, if you want to check out this Wednesday's episode, we're covering a little Mind Games, a little in-your-house action with the Year of Duke and Rogue.
Kim Hong
Un. We talk about King Hong Un.
Kim Hong Un.
And other stuff as well. So,
what?
Was a hoot. I've had Matt on a few times. I've had Duke and Rogue on a few times. Go check it out if you like old wrestling. If you don't, listen anyway, you fuck. So, yeah. That's about all I got.
No.
And he looks like a black lab's dick.
I can't wait to find out who that you have to be talking about, Jose Lothario.
That's a
Is that a super soft reference?
Almost. Talk a lot about Super Socks, though. A lot of Jose Lothario talk. So if you're into the Super Sock, God, this is the episode for you. Match of the year. Savio? Savio's there. Oh, double Sav?
No, give me more Sav.
The more Sav, the better. Yeah. That's what he says.
Fucking Mark?
Well, make sure you guys have your notifications on, and yeah. When that Apron Bump podcast drops, you can
YouTube
slide right in.
Wherever you listen.
Easy listen, lots of fun. Kyle's doing he does a gimmick where he rates every show afterwards, and whatever show has the best grade at the end of the year, he's gonna buy himself a championship belt of that promotion.
Yeah, yeah. WWF's winning right now so far, but only in September. Right now, so we'll see. We'll see. Tune in and find out, folks.
All right, and we'll see you in a couple weeks, Kyle.
Always, always, always a pleasure. Appreciate you guys having me on. Hand jobs all around.
Fuck yeah.
Wank, 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 wank. Always a hoot. Always a hoot. Seeing your lovely faces. I love you.
All right, Kyle. See you later.
Make love to me.
Okay.
Kyle's the best.
Of course he is.
All right.
Solid image.
No, you dumb piece of shit.
Oh,
that's not nice.
That's not called for.
Well, Dave's joining us shortly. I don't know where to go from. I don't want to. We can maybe try and put a bow on the Slick Miss Elizabeth conversation. We could talk a little more AEW if you want. We only have a couple minutes.
Well, what is there to talk about AEW?
Let your enthusiasm shine right through, Tony.
What's there? Talk about AEW.
Yeah, what is there? I mean, I don't know.
Let's see. Joe choked out Wardlow. I thought that was a bit...
Yep.
Premature.
How the mighty have fallen.
I get it, right? It's a world championship match, and he's supposed to be a viable opponent for Joe, and you're supposed to build him up, but... I don't know. It felt very like
rushed.
There was never one second where I thought Wardlow was going to beat Joe, and there was never a moment. You know, like Wardlow won this opportunity a couple weeks ago. Like he came out once after the Joe Swerve Kingdom tag match, and he let Joe choke out Swerve. Like he distracted them enough, but there really wasn't. You know, I get it. They're trying to fill that. They need filler until Adam Cole can come back.
Oh boy!
But they could have
even MJF.
You could have, if you're gonna put this on fucking second, like there was the rush to put it on Big Business.
Let him fucking destroy Orange Cassidy. Fuck that guy.
I agree, man. It was as you like to say, Matt. Not a lot of meat on the bone here. For this to be like Wardlow's like rebirth, like going in with the Undisputed Kingdom. Now we're gonna start finally taking Wardlow seriously again. But now, I mean, I guess there's no shame to losing to the world champion. But like, this is not the rebuild. This is not how you rebuild a guy. It's just not how you do it. And they totally screwed the pooch. And maybe because he did. Now, did he actually tap or did he just he just passed out? Right.
The referee's decision, so.
Referee's decision, yet.
Are they trying to protect Wardlow with that? Are they seriously?
That's what you do usually when you do that kind of finish.
But then Swerve comes out, so it's like...
Yeah. And now, like, why do I care about Wardlow anymore again?
Right, like, he's just like Joe Hook was like a thing, right? Nobody thought Hook was going to win, but man, there were moments where Hook was throwing Joe and Joe was selling for him, and you're like, this is fucking good. There was a little more meat on the bone to that. This is like, hey, here's Wardlow. Okay, he lost. Here comes Swerve. And then in 2 weeks, Wardlow's
a fucking
asshole.
And then here's the thing, Matt. They don't do anything else with Joe and Hook. Maybe like one more show, maybe one more segment they do with them. And now like Hook is like with Jericho and now they're fighting. They're teaming.
That's
now they're fighting.
Garbage too.
All I really ask for, and which is why WWE is so great now and why Impact has been so great, is just consistency. Like, give me the consistency that your fans deserve. Yeah, your matches are great. Your talent, your roster is stacked, men and women, stacked. Just give me the consistency of a weekly episodic television show. Like, please, like, just do that for me, please. Like, and AEW seems to fail. Edge and Christian Cage. Okay, fine. That's a story that I can still get behind on, what is it, a false count anywhere, no holds barred match on Wednesday. Okay, cool. I don't expect Edge to win. Actually, I kind of do, actually. But it is what it is. It's just like, give me the consistency that your fans deserve, and AEW just doesn't do it.
So I love Okada with the Elite. His promo before the match, where he made Dave Marquez sing "Happy Birthday to Matthew," I thought was so fucking funny.
That was funny.
Wait, Dave Marquez is in AEW now?
Oh, what's his name? Alex Marvez.
Oh. Alex Marvez. Yeah.
I was gonna say Dave Marquez. When did that happen?
Is day one ish.
Fine six man, you know, they're setting up Okada, Eddie Kingston, I get it. Jay White, Darby, I thought was great. I thought that's the best Jay White has ever looked in AEW. When Jay White has a story to tell in the ring, I think that's when he works his best. When Darby came in hurt and there was body parts that Jay White was going after, like, that's the Jay White that was working in New Japan. You know, and then they finally turn on the fucking Acclaim. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Again, like, consistency.
Stop letting these guys come out with these fucking Ring of Honor titles. They're fucking useless. They're all fucking useless.
Yep.
Back to your Jay White point, Matt. Like, I feel like Jay White is at his apex, and I'm actually starting. So that's a rebuild, right? Like, what we talked about Wardlow, what they're doing with Jay White is actually good. Because when he tells a story on the mic and in the ring at the same time, There's nobody better to me. Like, there's a really, it's hard pressed to find somebody better than Jay White.
Yeah, look, his stuff, the match with Darby was great, and Darby's still doing fucking crazy shit. Like, man, and then he fucking broke his foot, and he can't go climb Mount Everest now.
Yep.
Yep.
Crazy.
You know what? It's probably better that he broke his foot, because maybe he needs a year to think about Mount Everest and maybe not do it.
I mean, you only live once, Tony.
I understand, but, you know, the return rates of coming back from Mount Everest, you know, they're not the greatest. Not something that I would go, you know what, let's fucking do it.
He's a thrill seeker.
Yeah, apparently.
All right, speaking of returns.
Speaking of thrill seekers.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of climbing the Mount Everest of independent wrestling in New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I fucked that up. That,
you kind of did, bro.
We should have just brought him in. I should have just shut my fucking stupid mouth.
Well, it's not too late.
Well, you going to introduce him then? I'll shut up.
Ladies and gentlemen, returning, the prodigal son. He has arrived. He is back. He's fighting at the Tiki Bar. The one Dave Sturgio. Shut up. It was a better intro than yours. Oh, he's giving me the Iggy's. He's not coming in. All right, Dave Sturcio's not here.
All right. He saw enough, and he was like, I'm done. I'm done with these guys forever.
I don't blame him.
I was going to say, he's got the Yankee cap on. Good, he's got the blue background. I thought he was at fucking batting practice and training camp.
Oh, he's probably in his studio. Chop Sports Media.
I understand. I'm trying to set what we're seeing here. Because
I know, but you already said who's going to be. He said he's going to be wrestling. He's not a wrestler anymore. He's a promoter now.
Yeah, but he's not afraid to get in there with the fisticuffs. You mean to tell me he's not going to throw hands if he needs to?
I hope not from behind the commentary desk.
You could take the man out of the wrestler, but you can't take the wrestler out of the man. Some shit or other. Now I sound like Matt. Can we bring in Dave Sturcio, please?
You got Chris Payne over there for that.
Chris Payne.
I don't know. Can we? Is he ready?
I don't know. I see the ceiling now.
I see the ceiling.
See, that's what his opponents are going to see. They're going to fucking be counting the lights, like that no good Jim Duggan did. I remember. I was there. All right, he's calling us out. He's coming in.
The ceiling is the roof.
Oh, shit. How do we do that? What are you doing? There you go.
What up, Dave?
Stop. What are you doing? There you go.
What up?
Dave, welcome to the show, man. Welcome back, man.
What's going on, fellas?
You know, same shit, different schedule. I can't even fucking talk tonight. On this show,
nobody would care.
What publicity for Fight Factory Wrestling?
Right.
I was so excited
for War on the Shore, I had a stroke in the middle of the show.
You know what? We have that effect on people. So,
Dave, how are you?
I'm good, man. I can't be better right now. There's a lot going on. Definitely went down a road I didn't think I was going to go down at all. But, you know, when you want to, like, spread your creative wings a little bit, you just decide, what the hell, you know, let's go for it. I partnered with Chris Payne, my old compadre from the PWS days, WrestlePro days. And me and him and then my buddy Tommy D, who's another host of our Fight Factory podcast, we decided we were going to do like a one-off. We were like, why don't we just throw one show and see how it can go? But we got bigger dreams than that. And Payne was the big one that really pushed this venue on us. And I was like, you know what? The hell with it. Let's go. And I heard you guys right before I came on. You Live Once, right? So I was like, fuck it. Let's just do it. And here we are. So, you know, it's going to be exciting. We just announced Lady Frost about 5 minutes ago. So she got her. Got just the who's who right now, man. We're really, you know, swimming in debt. So we got the indie god, Matt Cardona. Obviously, we went with Joey Janela, a good old friend of mine. We went with Danny Moff, obviously, and Casey Navarro's been on an absolute tear in the indies, and now we have Lady Frost, and we're not done yet. We have a lot more announcements to make, but yeah, man, just going for it. The hell with it.
So Fight Factory Wrestling is going to have a show July 16th at the Martell's Tiki Bar in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Is the ring going to be on the beach? Is this like Bash at the Beach, like the OG?
This is exactly like Bash at the Beach. This is the homage. I don't want anybody to think like they're ripping off this, but this is Payne's a WCW guy through and through. I was never a WCW guy at all, really. I watched it, obviously, but like not like everybody else. But yeah, this is straight up putting the ring right on the beach. If anybody knows what Tiki Bar is or how the landscape kind of shakes out, if you walk through Tiki Bar, like Kevin, I don't know if you've ever gone to the Michael K stuff down there, but they're not going to be back this year. So
I've been there.
Yeah. So it's down the stairs and there's a massive bar and right out there is like their own private beach. So we said, you know, what better way to do it than to just put the ring right on the beach and we'll build an entrance and potentially build some truss and lighting. And we're just going to go all out. I mean, the worst that can happen is that, you know, we have shit ton of debt to pay off, but the best thing can happen that we can make some history on the Jersey Shore. I mean, they've never done this before, Martell's. I don't even know if Jenkinson's Boardwalk has ever done it before. Don't quote me on that because I don't know. But I know there's been things in Atlantic City. I know there's been things in Seaside. But the Jersey Shore is tiki, right? To me, I mean, the Jenks. And, like, I've had a lot of long nights at those places. Yeah. And I think it's just really cool just to the opportunity to just go out there and just make some kind of history. And, you know, I've always really tried to raise the bar for myself, starting with my match with Hacksaw. And then after that, I figured just keep building after that. So,
Dave, so professional wrestler, you started back in PWS a long time ago. You evolved to commentator, you evolved to media personality, and now you're evolving to promoter. Can you explain that evolution and what makes you keep going?
Insanity? No. Honestly, like getting into pro wrestling in 2012 was like my dream, and my best friend who passed away in 2007, I kind of wanted to live that dream for the both of us. And I did that. I like achieved it. Right. And there's a lot of people out there that like they look at my in-ring career as not like, you know, anything to kind of look at like, oh, this guy was great. Like I wasn't like a great wrestler by any stretch. I had a nice little decent local following. I thought it was very cool for people to support me. I had my rush of you know, winning battle royals and doing cool shit like that and joining up with Kevin with the reality check stuff and just doing all that. And then, you know, lo and behold, we had the Hacksaw match that really made me like just feel like, holy shit, I'm really this is nuts. Right. And then I think it was after I tore my ACL and it was like 2 weeks after the Hacksaw match. I got back into the ring after that. But I realized, like, all right, maybe this ain't the road I want to go down. And I've always suffered from concussions, like, a lot, playing sports throughout my whole life. I decided, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it's just another headache. No worry about it. But after September. It was September 10th of 2016 in WrestlePro. I got knocked to Christ. I mean, I don't remember getting hit. It was bad. He doesn't even wrestle anymore, which makes me even like more mad about it. Like, if I'm gonna go out, like, let me go out to a burning hammer that spiked me on my head by Danny Moff. But it wasn't the case. It was Christopher Avery Kueling. He doesn't work in the business anymore, so now it's just like, man, that really blows. But after that, I was like, you know what? I could still do this. Let's just still do this. And then Pat Buck kind of gave me the option. He was like, look, you can either go one or two ways. You can go, you know, you want to continue to wrestle? By all means. He can't promise me, like, these prominent spots, given my in-ring ability, one. Given my, you know, there was people that surpassed me so quickly. Like, I remember the first day Anthony Bowens walked into the school, and like, he did like one drill with me, and I was just like, I looked over at a couple of the guys, I'm like, fuck. Right? Like, I am not gonna reach the caliber of this kid ever. And then the Matt McIntoshes and Black Hollywood was doing their thing, and just everybody that I came up with, I realized, you know what, maybe, you know, I did have broadcasting in my background. Dave LaGreca was one of my teachers at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. So I met him there. Funny quick story about that is that he said, I remember there was like a final exam or whatever to pass the course of sports, I don't know, your sports final or whatever. And I tried to partner with a guy named Phil to do a like a duo show. And I told LaGreca, I said, hey man, we're going to do it on pro wrestling. And he's like, come on, man, like sports, think sports. Like, nobody's going to listen to a wrestling show 5 days a week. I was like, oh, you know, so it's like, all right, fine, I won't do that. But then, yeah, so that's a funny segue over there for LaGreca. I love him to death. I was actually with Kev over there at the Gramercy Theater. But after that, I realized, all right, let me go back to, let me do the commentary thing. I was really, really interested in that. I was very excited to do that. I believe in commentary as much as I believe in the performers in the ring. Now, while it might sound ridiculous because the guys in the ring are doing so much more, I believe in telling a story. That's what wrestling is storytelling. And if there's a good commentator behind the match, I think that can make or break a match. Like, there's been plenty of matches or plenty of returns or certain things that we see on WWE television or AEW or TNA that I'm just like, man, that was flat, you know, like that, like the return was cool, the music was great, the pop was great, but the commentator was like, here he is, he's back, this is great, you know. And I'm just like, put something behind it, man, you know, like, do something. So I decided to go that route. And then even during my injury, I was starting to do a little podcasting. That's when you guys kind of welcomed me onto to your network, you know, like, and just said, like, hey, do your podcast here and try to spread your creative wings there. So I always had that media in the back burner, and then the commentary thing kind of took off. I was excited about that. Then we realized that our ring announcer was dog shit at WrestlePro, David Adams. No, I'm kidding. I haven't seen, I haven't seen David Adams in a long time. I don't want to talk shit. It was obviously a joke.
Love you, David.
But you know, I did a pre-show match. And just because, you know, either he was running late or they're like, oh, shit, we need an announcer real quick. So, Dave, can you run in there and do a ring announcing thing? I said, fine. So I went in there and I did my thing. And Pat and Kevin were like, it's kind of good, you know, so maybe we use him going forward. So then I started ring announcing when Pat was working with or Kevin, rather, was working with TNA or Impact at the time. Pat was doing a lot of the backstage stuff, too. They landed me at Bound for Glory in 2018. The infamous Austin Aries, like, no sell, whatever the hell. I was part of that. Yes. So that was fun. I also screwed up Johnny Morrison's entrance. I told right on pay-per-view, too. It was great.
Would you call him Johnny something else, right?
No. I built him from...
From the wrong place.
I built him from the wrong place. I said Slam City USA, and he literally jumped off the turnbuckle because he was about to pose, and I'm like, oh, Slam City, right? And he gets down, he's like, Slam fucking town. And I was like, oh. I was like, Slam, there's a picture, I don't remember who took it, but there's a picture of me just busting out laughing because he's just in my ear and he's telling everybody in the crowd, boo this man, you know what I mean? Like, this guy can't get this shit right, and this is on pay-per-view. And I'm like, oh man, this is it, I'm never gonna make it now. But Scott D. Moore was great. He treated me like gold. He asked me to come back a couple times, and I realized it wasn't in the schedule for me, or I just wasn't available. So I denied a return to TNA. Not saying that's an egotistical thing. I'm just, schedules didn't line up. But then after that, I did ask for another shot, and I never got it. But it is what it is. And then just kind of rolling with that, being the voice of WrestlePro. I didn't really venture out. I mean, I had a couple other gigs in 2018, 19, different companies here and there. A little couple indies, you know, locally. You know, New Jersey, New York, the Bronx, Brooklyn, shit like that. But then I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go WrestlePro, gung-ho with this one, and just stay there. And not to say that I didn't like traveling or anything like that, because I will. But I figured this is where I belong. These are the guys that kind of brought me in, brought me up, so let me excel here. And then, like I said, man, in 2020, the world shut down. Me and a kid, he used to bartend. I used to bounce at Big Shots in Woodbridge. And he said, I'm starting this Facebook group or whatever. It's called Shop Sports. You know, if you ever want to drop your Cowboys content in there, you could, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. And I went in there and I realized, I'm like, man, there's a lot of people in here. It was like 500 at the time. And it was just getting started. Now there's over like 3,000. It's pretty cool. It's like a close knit group of 3,000 people, believe it or not. There's like characters in there. It's weird. But I started to do the media thing, and then eventually found some office space, built out a studio, took my Donnie dollars, as I call them. You know, everybody was sitting home doing nothing. I was saving money. So I just, you know, kind of saved money and then started my own business. And then from there, just kept going, man. And I did all right there. We're still doing okay. And I'm not saying it's a millionaire venture, but it's something that the lights are still on. I'm still able to do content out of my own studio, which is nice. I'm in the man cave now at home, so I'm not at the studio. But after that, like I said, I did the Fight Factory podcast, which was actually an MMA wrestling podcast at first. That segued into me just saying, you know what, fuck that. Like, MMA, there's a million shows. I didn't know enough. I always know like the mainstream guys, including my main man, Colby Covington. You know what I mean? I know those guys, but like, I'm not deep on the card with all these other guys. Like, oh, you see him? You just see that fucking pre undercard? I'm like, fuck no, I didn't. Like, I'm not watching that shit. You know what I mean? So I couldn't give it all, you know, and I didn't want to do that to the podcast. So I said, let's just go wrestling. Let's just go full bore wrestling. And then just a couple months ago, we added Chris Payne. He was kind of, you know, he's on the end of his tenure as a NYPD cop. He's on his way out in September. He's going to be retiring. So he's kind of looking for the next step, the next thing to do while he does his, I don't know if you guys know this, and I don't give a shit. I'm just going to say it. He does side work. He landed a pretty sweet side gig, and he's like head of security for Ryan Reynolds. Like, don't know how the hell he landed that shit, but that's what he's doing now. So he's like in Deadpool, like he sees like Deadpool fucking shit all over the place. Like, he's just, it's a very cool thing. So he's doing very well. And he was like, let me jump on the podcast. And then it was only a couple episodes in, and he was like, this is what I need to do. I need to podcast. I need to voice my opinion. You guys know Chris Payne. He's the biggest complainer of all time. It's all he does is complain about shit. It's nauseating at times. But like I said, after that, then that became like, all right, what do we want to do next? Where do we want to take the show? And I said, why don't we do a wrestling show? You know, just one show. And then that one thing led to another. Chris is like, I've had this dream for 10 years. I want to do this. I got this guy. We got to get this guy. We're going to go here, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you're out of your fucking mind, bro. We can't, you know, I have no money for that. I have two kids. Like, I'm broke as it is. But we made it work, man. We're on our way. And that's where I'm at now, man. I'm just promoting the shit out of it. Now I know what Kevin Matthews goes through. As far as the world hitting me up as if I was their brother. And I'm just like, right. Dude, you haven't talked to me in like 5 fucking years. Don't come at me now looking for a booking. I'm not a jerk off. I will respond to your email or your DM or whatever. But like, I'm also like looking for the best of the best. And like when Johnny Noblo comes in there with his fucking singlet from Sports Authority and he's like, I've been trained. I was trained by fucking
Johnny Rods.
He'll say Johnny Rods, or I got even like, and I love Rob Fury as a person. I think that he's a good dude, but when somebody puts that on their resume, I'm just like, I didn't even know there was a fucking school. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, but there wasn't. There's just like, he was booked as a yarder and he just got trained there. So I just don't want all that. And I want the best of the best. And I don't think that's a slight on anybody. I've gotten back to everybody who's messaged us. Again, a lot of people are messaging me for the first time since like PWS days. And they're like, yo man, what's up? How you been? How are the kids? I'm like, what? And they're like, dude, you don't, I, come on, man. I, So we're kind of like maxed out almost.
Good.
We sold out the front row in 2.5 days.
Great.
That was nuts for us because the amount of front row we put out there at the price. And I was like, I don't know, guys. I don't know if anybody would pay this, but they paid it. So I'm cool. Second row's going now. General mission's going now. General mission. So it's only first row, second row. And then GA, you're just standing on the beach and watching Great. A show. So
Sign
I think
me
it's,
up.
Yeah, I think yeah. it's unique. I think it's very cool. We actually kind of played with the idea of like bring your own beach chair type deal. But like I could see that getting messy. Like I could see like somebody like rolling into the crowd, grabbing somebody's beach chair, hitting them with it, breaking it. And then all of a sudden it's like, fuck, now what? But right away, people are just like, I'm going to jump off the pier. I'm like, fuck, you're not. Like, that's not fucking happening. So it's like, yeah. you know, it's all the nuances, the new things that I didn't know you needed. You know, got to get insurance, got to get this, got to get a ring, got to get, you know, all the stuff that I know you need. But like, all of a sudden, those people are coming out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I got a ring. I'm like, all right. Okay, good. Everybody calm down. Like, raise your hand when you want to speak, you know?
I'm pretty sure you got a ring.
So on the beach in July in New Jersey at like fucking 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's
seven.
Gonna be
seven.
Okay. Seven. Yeah. It's still gonna be warm.
It's gonna be hot. Listen,
gonna be a cover over the ring?
Well, I'm just praying for no rain. We have a rain date 2 weeks later, but that will definitely screw with like the flight for Cardona and shit like that. And of course, there's going to be a million people on want it. So obviously, I'm praying to every God that is available that the weather is good. But again, 7 o'clock. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a cover band called 90s Night. They have like a residency there on Tuesday nights, and they're huge marks, like huge wrestling fans.
Right.
And I think it's a great mix to possibly include a band while doing this whole thing. And like, you know, and of course Payne's got big aspirations, so he wants he's like tiki torches and this and that, and I'm like, all right, man, like whatever, like I'm being a yes man, and I know I should be a no man
right
now, but yeah. Dude, I'm just fuck it.
this weekend the Fight Factory has showcase matches on the yes. ISPW show. And it's funny because we talked about setting you up in February to get on the show, and you told me who was in these matches, and I didn't say anything. But Kayla Sparks is one of them. And I always laugh because during the pandemic, Kayla Sparks was one of those guests that we booked because I just was like, let's just see how this goes. Because Tony has a Kayla Sparks DVD from when she was like 16 years old.
Yeah,
like when she first got in, and I always thought it was fucking creepy. Exactly. That face you just made was the same face I always made. And I was like, fuck it, let's bring her on, and I'm just going to be like...
Fuck it, let's bring on that teenager.
Well, this was 15 years ago, that DVD. Now she's a grown woman. So I was like, fuck it, let's put her on. Like, I don't think she wrestles anymore, but maybe we can have some fun with this. Long story short, she fucking like... We talked to her, and then she was like, you guys like helped me find my love for wrestling again. She fucking got back out there. She was a fucking AEW, WWE. She's been everywhere now. It's such a – it's funny because the wrestling community is such a small world. It just – it's crazy how that worked out. And then you telling us that she's going to be on this showcase is just – it's full circle.
So I met her at the premiere showcase in September. She was working – Velvet, I want to say. Velvet, or no, Vita Scott. Vita, is that her name? Yeah.
Vita.
Beta. Yeah,
Matt's, Matt's favorite.
Yeah. So she was working her, I believe, okay. if I'm not mistaken. I met her. We communicated a little bit prior to the show. And then I met her finally. I was like, oh, she's really nice, you know? But then, like, as I've been talking to her since September, she might be the nicest person that I know in this business. She's just so super humble, so super excited about everything. She was texting me, like, for. No boundaries with this one. Sometimes I get a text at like 10:30. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like, but
yeah,
but it's great because she's just excited about every opportunity that she's getting. And she was actually texting me from backstage at AEW the other night. She's like, you don't understand. I'm taking Tony Storm's finish. I'm so excited. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, that's great. You know, I was like, just fucking protect yourself. I need you, you know, like don't go crazy. But she's so super nice, man. I'm very excited to have her. And then she's going one-on-one with Lady Frost on Friday. And I think that that's going to be really, really good. And obviously, we announced Lady Frost, but I fully intend, and I told Kayla this, that she's going to be at the War on the Shore as well. She's just as good as everybody else. And like I said, you know, the whole finding love for this and this, that, and that. Like, she's genuine. Like, she was on like Twitter Spaces with like Gabe Sapolsky the other night, and she started putting us over. And I was like, dude, you didn't have to do that. Like, that's really cool, you know? Like, and of course, Gabe's probably like, I don't know what the fuck they are. Who cares? You know? But like, but for the idea that she did that for us was like super humbling. And yeah, I'm very excited for her. And obviously on the men's side of things, you know, I think Victor Benjamin is one of those dudes that just, you see him around, you don't want to fuck with this guy, man. Like, this guy is a cold killer. And I think that he's going to match up very well with a longtime friend of mine, Chris Steeler. Chris has been doing this for 20 years over. He started with the diddler, Kevin Knight. I shouldn't have said that, but whatever.
you mean, I don't know if you remember the Wawa's. I made a joke about that.
You probably did, and it probably fell on deaf ears, and or that was just hush. I don't know.
But, well, we call him White Kevin Knight.
White Kevin, that fits the bill. But
I want to get him confused with the other Kevin Knight, the good wrestler.
Black Kevin Knight, yes.
Oh yeah, all right. Hey man, easy with that, right? No, black though.
All right, I'll stick with the diddler and the non-diddler if I make you happy.
So Chris Steeler's been doing it for a long, long time. Good friend of mine, real, real good friend of mine. And I was like, bro, you know, it seems to me he's on that level of like a Matt McIntosh. And you guys obviously know Matt McIntosh. But it's like, these guys are so goddamn gifted, and I don't think they know it. And I think that's a problem with a lot of these wrestlers nowadays, where their confidence in themselves are just no bueno. And I don't understand it, because I'll be the first one to tell somebody, like, yo, you had the match of the night. And they're like, really? Like, I screwed up it. You know, Pat's that kind of guy. Every time I'm like, hey, Pat, man, that was great. He's like, that fucking stuck. Can we take it off the air? Can we fucking delete it? And I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, like, but like, that's what, you have to be hard on yourself. And I get that. But like, you know, Chris Steeler's one of those guys, I think, that just don't understand just how talented he really is. He had a cup of coffee with WrestlePro. He did a couple things with us. He was on one of the Starland Ballroom shows. I think he kicked fucking Hash Brown's head, or not Hash Brown, who was Jimmy Controversy's head, into like the fucking third row. And I was like, dude, this kid's super kick is unreal, right? It's like, so I'm excited, man. They're going to go head to head. And my two matches are hopefully going to steal the show. I mean, I've been working closely now with Tommy Fierro at ISPW. He's been helping me and guiding me through this whole process of being a promoter, because he's been doing it since before the internet was a thing, you know? So he knows exactly what he's doing. He's helping me out with some promotions, and he's giving me this opportunity to kind of showcase my people. And it's a rumble. There's a rumble at the end of the night. So if I want to get up off commentary and toss a couple guys out, I can do that too. You know what
I told
mean?
You. So, I told you.
Teaser. Teaser.
Y'all were talking shit about me. Dave, don't do that no more. Don't hold your breath, man.
Dude, I did it at WrestlePro. I thought it was a fun spot. Me and Josh Chernoff were doing it. And, you know, I just, you know, I found out that day. I found out that day because they did, like, you know, how they do the pre-sound checks while we're setting up the shows. And all of a sudden they were doing, like, a countdown clock. And then when the buzzer hit, my music hit. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Please,
like,
tell me you're still using Kill Switch.
Oh, of course I use Kill Switch. And in fact, if you're listening, Roderick Strong, change your shit. I had it first. So, anyway. No, you probably had it for me, but whatever.
Nobody watches AEW anyway, dude. You're fine.
Well, I try to keep an optimistic mind about AEW, because obviously I got a lot of friends down there and I want to see them all succeed.
For sure.
But there's this, of course there's certain things that I watch and I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, like, but otherwise, still good wrestling. It just feels like a glorified indie show every week. That's what it really feels like.
100%.
Yeah. There it is. As you get copyright infringement.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's fucking idiot above me over here.
Yeah. Well, listen, that was my song. That was my favorite. Well, my favorite song. It was my best friend's favorite song. So that's why I kind of trickled and used it. Right.
You used to get the pop to the night with that song, man. Like,
yeah, man. I think
even as an announcer, as a wrestler and announcer, you got the pop to the night a lot of times.
It's a lot. I still get the same rush coming through the curtain as an announcer than I did as a wrestler. Yeah. Because you have that opportunity to, like, really take it all in. Like, people are cheering for you. Nobody else right now. There's nobody else in the ring. It's just you. And they're cheering. Maybe, half of it, Martin, like, most of it is because the show is starting. Right? But, like, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, all right, well, maybe it's for me. Who knows? You know what I mean?
It's all for you, man. Just take it. Take it all.
I'll embrace that shit. But, Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I can't wait. I'm so busy as of late now. I got to tell you, and I would be remiss if I didn't plug something that's dropping in 2 weeks is the brand new Premier Wrestling app. In fact, I invite you guys all to have like VIP accounts on that. It's a brand new platform. You're going to love it. Dude, some of the features on this thing are so cool and innovative. Like you guys would salivate in this shit because there's a section called My Fandom. And that's basically they've curated the entire populated list of every single WWE, TNA, AEW, fucking even some indies, every event, every house show, everything. And you could select and post pictures from that event, and other fans from everywhere can post and say, I was there too. Here's my pictures. I was there too. Here's my picture. Like, it's a very, very cool app. There's going to be like things called arenas where basically it's going to feel like an AOL chat room where you're going to be watching Raw and there could be a live stream, an actual like a watch along with hosts, maybe me, maybe somebody else. Maybe we get like Cardona to do one night. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be so many cool things. And obviously all of our content on there, our original content. I do the Wrestling Hour with Josh Chernoff, and the Fight Factory podcast is on there. And Gabby previously from SiriusXM is on there doing her thing. She just had Chris Jericho on, so that was dope. But yeah, I'll have to get each one of you guys a code, get you guys a VIP account, and hook it all up, because Premier Wrestling app is going to change the game, man.
Now I feel bad about telling you we're going to use your Destruction 101 originals as blackmail when you get super famous.
Were they that bad? Were they that bad at podcasts? I don't even remember.
Oh, I don't know, but I assume. Just like this podcast, if you went back and found like the first stuff, like we probably definitely said some shit we should have never said.
Brutal, just brutal. Like, and you know, it's so funny. I shit you not. And look, I've grown in this business. There's been times where 2012, 13 into 14, I thought I was untouchable. I thought my shit didn't stink because I had Pat Buck behind me and I was in Reality Check and I was getting pushed to the moon because this, that, and the third. I thought I couldn't be touched. So you, like,
you had that Sports Authority singlet.
I did. That was my first singlet. The first thing, I was brand new. But some of these guys that are sending me fucking resumes are sending me resumes with like, I have 86 years experience, and like their gear is literally Kevin Owens or some shit. I'm just like,
yeah, right.
Come on. Anyway. You know, like I said to my friends the other day, I said, what? Some people are like, oh yeah, I'm on this show. I'm like, oh yeah, where's the poster? They sent me the poster. Every single wrestler had a shirt on. Every single one of them. It was a cut off sleeve shirt. And I was like, first of all, you didn't cut it off right. There's nobody that cuts a sleeve better than me or Dan Moff. You got to do it right. But yeah, so I digress with all that shit. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. I think that, I'm on a different path now, but that's what I was saying before. Right. Somebody hit me up. Obviously we announced, you know, Joey Janela, and me and Joey have a little bit of a checkered past, you know, like we've kind of gone to blows, you know, once upon a time, and you know, that's all deaded in the past, but like he had hit me up, at like 2 a.m, like after we announced the show. And he's like, Tiki, ? I'm a VIP. And I was like, Joey, you know that I want to use you. And I had a lot of fear that his price was going to be like through the roof, GCW success. And I even said, I was like, all your success, bro, I don't know if I can afford you. He goes, bro, I can ride my bike there. We'll figure it out. And I was like, all right. But if you scroll in this DM one time, like the last time me and Joey Janela spoke, was 2014 via Facebook, and it was me and him scheduling a fight to fight each other. So it's like, we're like, you know, so like, I know how it is to have, you know, these bad podcasts or these bad relationships with these people. But now I'm a totally different guy, and I, you know, kids will do that to you. I think that, you know, kids and a wife and a support system at home will kind of just ease up your hostilities and frustrations with a lot of different things. And that's kind of where I'm at now. So yeah, I'm excited.
You said the front row sold out. Did the sign girls buy tickets?
Okay. So the sign girls, I officially think, and this might be breaking news here on the Shining Wizards podcast.
Oh boy.
I don't think they're the sign girls anymore. I don't think they're together as much as people think anymore. Ooh. Because it's always Hummer, and it's never Christine. Uh-oh. Ever. So it's like, Hammerstein, like, I was like, it was unbelievable. I said, tickets are on sale now. 8 seconds later, it was a front row bought by fucking Kathy Hummer. And I was like, dude, I can't think of another person that has supported me as heavily as Kathy Hummer, right? No pun. But
yeah, you didn't have to say that. Come on, man.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She is great. Christine's great. Christine, like, they're awesome people, but I haven't really heard much from Christine, I don't think. I mean, I get a lot of, you know, comments and likes and shit, but like, I don't recall seeing her name a lot. I see Kathy all the time. So shout out to the sign girl.
Wasn't Christine tied up with her man? Like, is she still seeing that guy? I thought she was like off the market for a while.
I have no idea.
Fucking Dave knows. Dave fucking,
yeah, right? Like, yeah, I'm Dave. Like, actually, no. Last I heard, like, no, I have no fucking idea.
Dave's fucking a co-promoter, owner of a company, and he keeps track of the sign girls. He's,
yeah, you gotta make sure. Yeah, listen,
that's going to be on the Premier Wrestling Network, Life of a Sign Girl.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'd watch that.
Of course you would. Of course you would. Dude. Come on.
Watch it, man. Like, come on. They were dedicated fans. They still are.
They still are. And look, nothing brought a tear to my eye more than watching Vlad's documentary, man. I was like, man, this guy is fucking awesome. And, you know, I never met him in person, like, where I never actually, like, shook his hand until the Gramercy Theater. I was able to be like, holy shit, you're you. You know, like, this is great. And
yeah, that was incredible, right?
Yeah, man. And I think that this last, like, 2-3 months of wrestling has really opened up the doors for, like, fans to just be really, really hardcore fans and not be questioned about why they're such hardcore fans, if that makes sense. Like, La Greca is being called out, you know, by, like, The Rock. You know, like, that's kind of crazy if you think about it. Like, La Greca is, yeah, he's a notable name in the industry, a big notable name in the industry, but, like, think about that. Like, somebody's taking a time as big as The Rock to call you out and say that you're wearing your fucking wife's robe or what, you know what I mean? Whatever he said. It just seems that La Greca has used his voice for the right things when it comes to encouraging wrestling fans to just kind of keep doing what you're doing, because I think it's cool again. You know what I mean? And kudos to The Rock for doing that. So anybody who's, you know, thinking that, you know, I'm a Rock fan. So I was just like, when he came back, I was like, this is going to be gold. I don't care what happens. It's going to be gold. And then the people just went absolutely batshit nuts over it. So it's a good thing for wrestling.
Well, Dave, what you guys are doing over there at Chops Horse Media and with Fight Factory Wrestling is a good thing for wrestling. And we're excited for you. This is an awesome venture. And a Tuesday night works much better with my schedule than a weekend. So maybe drunk Shining Wizards Matt will be stumbling around the beach bar.
I was worried about that because I was like, you know, when our first preliminary talks with Tiki Bar, they weren't in on the idea. They really weren't. They were just like, all right, we'll hear you out, but, you know, like, what's probably going to be a no. And I'm like, okay, well, hear us out. And then, like, they called, and I said, you know, if we can get it, like, a Friday or Saturday night. He's like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, there's no shot that you get a Friday, Saturday, or even a Sunday, you know? And I was like, okay, so what are our options? He goes, Tuesday or Wednesday. I was like, awesome. Tuesday it is. And I was like, fuck. And from everybody that I talk to, it seems to me that, like, the Jersey Shore is popping every night. So it doesn't really, you know, like, during the summer, people are on vacation. It's going to be a lot of walk-up traffic. You know, so I'm not worried about the attendance. Tiki Bar cut us a really good deal for the venue. Our biggest guy right now is Matt Cardona, and I think that's where it's going to stop. I know that, I'll just say it. I mean, like, there was aspirations to get Diamond Dallas Page down there because he's from Point Pleasant. But, you know, there's certain price tags I'm not willing to say, like, sure, you know, like, yeah. And I would have said yes, but a lot of these guys, rightfully so, these legends and just ambassadors and just guys that are just the most over wrestlers of all time, they want some of that stuff up front. And I'm just like, I don't got it. I mean, tickets aren't even on sale yet. How the hell the fuck do you want me to, like, I got enough shit on my credit cards. I can't just fucking fly DDP down here, give them half of it, you know, now before I even sell anything. So unfortunately, you know, that didn't work out, but we think Cardona, we had Cardona and DDP at, like, right here. So it was like, I know Cardona through obviously Pat and Kevin and Jay Silva and that whole crew. And I figured I'll give it a shot. And here we are, booked flight, ready to go.
Oh my God. Please tell me you're booking Jewosaurus for this.
I was just going to ask, will there be a Jewosaurus in the Battle Royal?
First of all, and another thing. So
can we call him a Jewosaurus? Is that okay?
No, I mean, that's his name.
He called himself the Jewosaurus. So we can call it how it is. So I don't know if I want to go that route. Not
oh, come on. You got to do it.
No. Not with Jay, but like with like a battle royal. Like I know every single promotion under the sun does a battle royal either on their first show or like another big show, and like ticket sellers battle royal. Like trust me, I was part of that, you know, and that's the reason why I fucking won the damn thing. I sold the most tickets, but it's like I don't know if I want to go that route with this company. I think I want to make it a little bit more legitimized and just try to go different than everybody else. Hence a fucking Tuesday night in the summer. So,
but make it really weird. Just make it like a 5-person battle royal. Just something like really out of the ordinary.
Yeah, Jewosaurus, Gino Caruso.
I'm gonna have Jewosaurus and like Kayla Sparks. Just go 1-on-1 in the fucking battle royal. Just throw them over the top. It's over.
Get Blob back in there.
Oh, I said
maybe you can get the maybe you can reach out to ECPW legend The Experiment, see if he'll dust off
the fuck that is, and that's no offense. I just don't.
He's
know.
he's right below
back here if you need me.
Hey, nothing but love. I sorry.
Did you not know Tony was a trained wrestler like 30 years ago?
No, I did not.
You really didn't know that, dude?
No, man, I didn't know that.
Well, shit.
Dave, I'm gonna fucking send you a fucking.
The only picture the only picture I've ever seen of any of you guys doing anything is the picture that Kevin shares every like year, where it's just like.
Oh, it hasn't been that. It hasn't been that quick. It's been a few years since I've shared that.
So share it tonight.
I will. You know what? Maybe
share it tonight and say as heard on the podcast. There you go.
Tough enough, Kevin. That's right.
So. Dave, I just sent a link to your Twitter, DM'd you. It's The Experiment against Gino Caruso.
Oh, that's my first match, you fucking handjob.
Listen, man. We all have our first matches, okay? And they're not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. And mine was, but yours might not have been, you know?
Like, I broke my goddamn finger during that match.
Oh, fucking Cry Me a River, broken.
You know what I did? I ran up to the apron and I jammed my fucking ring finger right into the apron, broke it. Fucking all the bones in my hand, dude, right up the fucking finger. And I was like,
bro, I still have scars from like getting like just setting up the ring and like cutting my hand or something like that. God damn, that hurt a little bit. And like it never went away. And I was like, oh, cool. I definitely gotta watch that now instead of Raw.
I remember
when you tore your ACL. That was the most heartbreaking shit ever, bro.
Dude, that it couldn't have come at a worse time, man. Yeah. I was like right off the high of doing the Duggan thing, and then that fucking hack tap out fucking said I was gonna be in a suicidal six way in the next event, and I was like, suicidal six way? And the fuck is like what do I do that's suicidal? Like there's no way, right? And then they showed me the lineup, and I'm like, are you out of your mind? And it was me, McIntosh, a couple other guys, obviously four other guys that I'm sorry, I don't, the drunken swashbuckler.
Maybe
great pull. That's a great pull.
Mike Tyson. Who's the Mike Tyson?
Oh, Little Mac.
Little Mac?
Yeah, I don't know if he was in it, but we had a spot. Me and McIntosh had a spot where he was going to let me spear him through the ropes. Like he was going to be on the outside, and I was going to go through the ropes, and we were going to go to the outside and make this big fucking thing. And then that fucking... See, trying to be nice. I tore my ACL in practice. Yeah. I remember when I did it and I landed.
I know exactly
the
story. I
felt
too.
Everything just go, and I was like, so I looked up at Pat, who's sitting on the turnbuckle, kind of watching the drill happen, and I was like, did I land funny? He goes, it's a little funky. I was like, okay, and I was like, I can't straighten my legs, so this is sucks. And I remember that drive to the hospital was probably the worst ever because I tore my meniscus and my ACL at the same time. And I couldn't even move. It was weird, dude. It was so weird. It sucked. It was a long fucking road, man. And then I came back and I wore basically my sweatpants and a tank top for my fucking comeback match.
Nice. Kevin Owens style. Doing it.
That was
baby.
Awful. It was so awful, dude. I had, obviously, the return was going to happen. I was doing like media for PWS. And they're like, okay. I said to them, I was like, hey, I'm going to come back with like a tank top, like a good fitting tank top. My dumbass gloves that I wore and jeans, because that's what I was wearing to do all the media. I was like, I want people to think like, okay, he's back, but he's not fully back, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I was doing squats in the back warming up and I fucking did one squat and I split that shit right down the center. And I was like, I just ripped my entire pants through my asshole. And I was like, well, that's fun. So I was like, what do I got left? And I have, you know, Raleigh says it all the time. Like, Dave went out there and he fucking in his gym shorts or whatever. And it was like gym pants. And it was, I looked like a fucking fifth grade gym teacher going in there and trying to wrestle. And yeah, I had one comeback match with my man, my main man, Eddie Spaghetti, who's a NXT official right now. He's the man. Eddie Franken is the guy. He put me over real nice, let me squash him. Felt great. And then that was it. We kind of just like, I got really nasty with like PWS at the time. I was like, all right, so I squashed him. What's next? You know, and they're like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I was like, wait, so I don't like have a match announced like for the next month? Like, they're like, no. And I was like, oh, cool. I quit. And I didn't quit. I got fired. I got told not to come back by Pat. But then shout out to Mike Bucci. Mike Bucci gave me my second chance. So
they had more pressing issues. Somebody was sticking their fingers in the cookie jar. They're a little preoccupied with your next match, Dave.
Yeah, they're making walk through haunts and shit for fucking 10/31 with.
Yeah, but I heard volleyball is pretty successful.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah,
dude, I don't even know. Babes, what was it? Babes volleyball league.
Babes,
or whatever?
PWS Babes and volleyball. So, fucking like there's like a few bright spots about PWS, our relationship with them. Obviously you and Bowens and Moff, but there was a lot of dog shit, a lot of baggage. That's why we replaced, you know, we've grown and we have handsome Kevin now. Yeah. Before Voldemort and after Voldemort.
Who the fuck is Voldemort?
Don't worry about it. Come on now, dude.
Don't worry about it.
2-4 together.
I'll text you later.
Okay. Yeah. Fill me. I feel like I'm a way.
You
like,
know, there used to there used to be a fourth, and then there wasn't, and then we brought in a fourth.
Yeah. Wait. So you guys had like a? I mean, not to bring up dirty laundry. You guys had a falling out.
No, for to have a falling out, two people would have to have a conversation.
Oh, okay. Complete ghost job. Okay, cool.
Oh, well, now yeah. We got handsome Kevin. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, it's a solid beard. So I'm down for the beard. You can go to madcatbeardcare.com and then get yourself some premier beard. That's how mine looks so luxurious right now.
There it is. That's how you close a show with a plug.
Yeah, who would have thought? I mean, my life.
You didn't
right
talk
now,
about my
I,
fucking
I'm a
beard.
Fucking
your beard
cat.
Sucks, bro.
What's wrong with my fucking beard?
Look at I like your beard too.
I got the gray thing going. I'm fucking
hey,
old.
Listen,
I like your beard.
I have to shave my hair on my sides like every week now because it's just like, holy shit, I've gotten grayer and grayer every week. It's nuts. Yeah. That's what kids will do to you.
Oh, fuck yous all. I got to shave my back once a month. Getting old sucks, bro.
Get yourself one of them man groomers that you just kind of.
I did. They all fucking get knotted up with all the hair.
Wow. All right. That's
TMI, bro. Nobody needs to know how much of a fucking gorilla you are.
Fucking I'll make George Steele look like a fucking one of them hairless cats. How's that for a visual?
Dave, this is a swell.
That was good.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we're excited. July 16th, War on the Shore for Fight Factory. Of course, at Chop Sports Media, you're doing all sorts of great things there. Fight Factory CS on the Twitter machine, at Watch Premiere on Twitter, and, of course, at Dave Sturcio. It's been going across the bottom of the screen all night between your Twitter plug and Eventbrite. WarOnTheShore.Eventbrite.com, where you can get your tickets. And Dave has a link tree with all those links there. I'll put it in the show notes when this is published as a podcast. But, Dave, this has been awesome catching up. We're so happy to see you being oh, Nelly, here we go. See, this is not an episode of the podcast unless Nelly jumps up here and shows you her butthole. Can you not sit on my notes? We're so happy for you. You worked hard to get to this point, and we wish you nothing but the best. And hopefully my schedule works out, and I take a trip down to Point Pleasant. I'll drag KJG with me. Tony don't leave the house anymore because he's fucking old.
Tony, it's
one day.
He goes
to bed at like 7 o'clock, dude.
It's one day. It's in the summer, Tony. I fully expect you to be there, man.
Would you accept Tony? And if we put Tony in a guinea tee, black socks up to the knees, guinea tee tucked into the shorts.
If you do that and you show up like that, I'll personally let you fucking ring announce one match. Just like that. You have to, you have to dress like that.
Former tier one commentator Anthony Zatkos in the house.
Oh, government names. What are we doing?
Fuck you guys. Used my fucking full name 2 weeks ago.
Did we? No, we didn't.
Yeah, somebody. Yes. Government.
I always let it slip.
Come on, Nelly.
Well, listen, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and promote the show. And
a lot of people here for you, buddy.
You guys, honestly, and I shit you not, it was the podcast that I did with you guys. Either it was the Drew Gulak show or the Hacksaw show. One of those two. You had me in studio twice, and you guys gave me the absolute bug to do all this shit. So like, I leave Shining Wizards responsible for everything that I've been doing media wise because I knew as soon as I sat on Tony's basement couch or whatever. That I knew I was like, this is what I want to do. And I want to host my own show. I want to do all this cool shit. I want to have fun and talk wrestling and get together with the boys. Thank you guys. I appreciate that.
Oh, thanks, Dave. That's now, awesome, if you dude. Could get you. Pat McAfee to mention us, we'd be doing good.
My boy.
Hey, real quick, Dave, what do I got to expect from that left tackle we got from Dallas? Tyron Smith.
You can expect to get what he's got left. He's never a fully healthy guy, but when he is, he's one of the best in the game. So I think it's a great insurance policy for Mr. Aaron if he's not fucking running for vice president or whatever the hell he's trying to do.
No, that's
it's been debunked.
Yeah.
I was my heart bled like for the Jets fans this year. I really did. Like four plays into the year. It was like the day after my birthday, I was like, hey, the Cowboys already got their win. I'm going to sit back and watch Rodgers do his thing on Monday Night Football. And it was like fucking 8 seconds into the game. I was like, is he sitting down? Is he okay? And I was like, oh my God, like this whole thing is happening right before our eyes. And so I'm excited to see the Jets get back to business.
Couldn't have happened to a better team.
Easy, big fella. Dave, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that little last minute.
Absolutely. Man. Enjoy the rest of your night, fellas. And we'll talk soon.
Be good, Dave. We'll talk soon, brother.
Good seeing you again, brother.
Dave's gone.
Big old Dave guy. Hey, guys.
Hey. How are you?
Oh, look at this. Look at this on my Canadian flag bell over here.
Oh, I'm waiting for fucking Larry to fall off the chair over there.
He will never.
No, because he's made of fucking stone. He just sits there.
Old granite man.
Hunk of shit.
Hey.
The fuck, fam?
I don't like Larry Zbyszko. What do you want from me?
That's an issue. Tony, before we were joined by our guest, you're talking about Mount Everest and people climbing it and such. Less than 0.5% of the people that have climbed Mount Everest have died. I think Darby will be okay.
Nah. Because he'll try to fucking jump off the top
to
of
bring
it.
Bring that back up?
Less
he's
oh
been
man,
holding
I,
this.
I fucking I've been yeah. sitting on it. I've been waiting. Yes, less than 0.5%.
It's not the only thing you sit on.
Oh, yeah. Spinner. He lets it linger.
I've never had a nosebleed while I was taking a shit. Yeah. All right, enough. Yes, nosebleeds while shitting. Wonderful. Feces get some new sound bites and all this stuff. Yeah, peepees and peepees and peepee on me, fucking Gwen Stefani. What are we doing? Free the pussies. Hey, your ride's here. Get in with Jumanji. Yeah, fuck you, bye. Jumanji's waiting for you. Oh,
you
crap.
Fucking piece of shit. Fuck.
I could do a Justin. Yep, I'm done. It's over. Kapow!
I mean, I don't think we're topping that.
Fuck you.
Yeah. KJG, give me three.
I got you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Fucking McGraw?
One more time, Matt?
No, fuck you, dude.
Back off of this.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that.
If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on The Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, check out the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering the history of wrestling year by year. Also from Gorilla Brain is the Tots Pod with Handsome Kevin and Loverboy Al, telling people to get off the lawn and reviewing wrestling figures. Also on Mondays, get your horror fix with 30 Screams or Less featuring Steve and Corey, where they review a horror film in 30 minutes or less. Monday nights live, it's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. Wednesday nights, it's the Mark Order Podcast, covering everything AEW with Ant Money, Kate the Great, Ryan Schlong, and Asian Joe. Get your metal fix on Fridays with Snowy and Aaron on Radioactive Metal, the longest-running metal podcast on the planet. Saturdays, it's High Five Tom and Will Mercier on ROH Revelry, covering the history of Ring of Honor. On Sundays, it's Inconclusive Breakdown with Justin and Vince, covering the week in pop culture, politics, and more. The Shining Wizards Network also features other great shows, including Bread Club, where Kieran and Matt cover everything New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, where brothers Alan and Tom watch some of the greatest and not-so-great matches in wrestling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where the Impact Fly of Phil Rea discusses current wrestling while paying homage to the past. And Wrestling Night in Canada, where Snowy, Matt, and Dustin put a north of the border perspective on the world of wrestling. Enjoy all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment, here.
For centuries, women have tried to enhance the size of their breasts because women know that itty-bitty titties just don't stack up. After all this time, 21st century technology has provided the ladies with a modern miracle of science. Introducing CurveCrafter 5000 for the ultimate in cleavage construction. A technological breakthrough with two simple suction cups. Ladies, you can suck your way to the size of your dreams. And if you act now, you get the sweater stretcher absolutely free to guarantee firmness and a full bosom that people with any pronouns will enjoy. For the CurveCrafter 5000 and the free sweater stretcher, call now at 551-333-1030 for only $29.99 plus $5 shipping and handling, or send check or money order to the address on your screen. Yes, ladies, you can suck your way to the size of your dreams. Itty bitty titties just don't stack up. That's some clever wordplay. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, you don't care?
I don't care. Were you laughing at me scratching my nuts before I was getting back in my chair?
Oh, man. It looks like you're trying to get yourself off.
I was digging for Yuli's gold.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Something's itching. I got to get checked out, I guess.
Yeah. Probably.
I got some leftover Irish soda bread. By the way, did you guys enjoy your St. Patrick's Day yesterday? A little corned beef, a little cabbage for anybody?
No.
Yeah. Sure. No.
No?
No.
No.
Nope. Wow. Awesome. KJG, my man.
Got a little corned beef sandwich and got my dad a little corned beef platter, which was corned beef, cabbage, and potatoes with Irish soda bread. So,
who made it? What place?
Billings in the Valley.
Nice.
Right down the street, walking distance.
Good for you, man. Corned beef's good as hell.
It was delicious. They make the best corned beef in the state.
Corned beef's amazing when it's done right.
Oh, wow, this is riveting.
Horrible.
Why not, man? Horrible. I was loading up on the cabbage. Oh, my God. So I went.
Oh, you're a fine Irish bastard, aren't you?
My nephew turned six on last week. So they had a party at my sister-in-law's house on Saturday.
Piece of
shit. And I felt bad because I took my mother-in-law up there, and they served barbecue for lunch. Dude, I farted when we got in the car. I had to fucking open the windows and apologize to my mother-in-law. It was putrid.
Yeah, I would call your doctor as soon as possible.
Fucking cutting gassers in the car.
I felt so bad. Like, I thought, like, oh, because, dude, my stomach was hurting. I was all gassed up, you know? I felt better.
All right. Scott George says, you guys are knocking it out of the park with these guests. Tropical says, the earbud was out during the commercial, and she was like, what the fuck are you listening to?
Was that in response to the, you guys are knocking the guests out of the park?
No, I would assume that was perhaps during the Tony's or our sponsor's commercial, the titty, what's it called?
Oh, the Curve Crafter 5000.
There you go, Curve Crafter 5000. Yes, gotcha. It makes the ladies' bosoms bigger.
Could suck your way to the size of your dreams.
Okay, and then you can get the sweater stretcher.
Absolutely free.
Only 6 to 8 years.
Dude, that's part of the deal, man. You get the girth, what they call it, girth? The
girth.
Voluptuousness? Yeah, like, what do you call it? Like
the width?
No, like the enhancement, I guess. And then you get like the lift.
Fucking.
So you get the stretch and the lift. It's like a 1-2 kapow. Kapow.
I don't know, Tony. I have to figure out it. I think you're on your own planet.
Is there any way you could turn those up? Like, they always sound so quiet.
Bit, yeah, a little low.
Can you boost that shit?
Boost the shit.
But I love balls.
See what I could do. I'll work on it.
Get in!
It's my next project. I fixed WrestleMania Madness is still going on. We are at the Sweet 16 now. I just posted a new video this afternoon. So if you're not subscribed to YouTube, what?
I watched it.
Okay.
You do a great job.
What did I do wrong?
One bit of constructive criticism.
Oh, boy.
I think everybody knows it's a WrestleMania tournament. I think you've said WrestleMania no less than 470 times during the episode.
Gotta hammer it in there. Yeah.
Just say it's like 2 versus 23 or, you know, like 35 versus 17. You know, WrestleMania 2 versus WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 4 beat WrestleMania 5. WrestleMania 6 is in the next tournament. It's like,
nah,
I don't have to say it so much.
Couldn't disagree with you more, Tony. I'm with Matt on this.
Ah, the room is split. HK, you're the deciding factor. What should I do?
Well, I haven't gotten a chance to watch the video yet. So I will say this. Is it always WrestleMania, or do you throw a mania in there from time to time?
I'd be lying if I could remember, even if it was only
I don't
five
think
hours
he
ago.
Did.
Okay.
But to Matt's point, you have to hammer it home. Like, I agree with him 100%.
Mania Madness. I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah. Al confirms the wife heard the Curve Crafter. He was laughing his balls off. Scott George, no one needs heavy honkers. I tend to disagree with you, sir.
Big old heavy honker guy.
Sometimes large fun bags are just more fun.
Bags.
Isolate that, Scott George. How you like that apple?
No, not Scott George.
Mike Peterson does it.
Mike Peterson does that. That's
right. Eric Death Freed. Number? Eric Freed. Oh, yeah.
Gee whiz.
I get them confused all the time. I'm sorry.
Does it matter?
That wasn't nice.
Get in.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, here comes the train. We getting on?
Let's do it. Our drops are better than anything we got.
Tony, are you playing? Because you can barely hear whatever you're playing.
Oh, seriously?
The honking of the car horn is very faint.
Are you serious? I might have to check my shit. Fuck.
Well, then you're in your fucking...
Wait a minute.
AIDS? What?
No. It should be... Fuck. You know what? Maybe it is quiet. I don't know. Fuck me running. I got to change my settings. Let me see something. Yeah, you're right. My bad. Let me try something. Now I'm gonna fucking crash the entire thing.
All right, I'll crash it off while you do that.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Why?
All right. How's this?
There we go. That is much louder. Much, much louder. Just what I was hoping.
Way, way more obnoxious. And yeah. Perfect.
We getting on the train?
Oh, my God.
What's the matter, bro?
Why do you have like fucking like random fucking vehicle sounds?
When I updated Farago, all this stuff made it.
Transportationsounds.com? Is that what you did all fucking day?
Yeah, that's exactly what.
Now, you looked up trans sounds and that's what he got.
It wasn't the trans sounds I was expecting.
Nope.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Not here if you need me.
Do you prefer try to gobble knobs?
Tip the waitress. Try the veal.
And the knobs.
Do you have a, perhaps a boat? Do you have a boat horn? Maybe a tugboat horn.
Tugboat? Yeah.
You're tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast.
Are you fucking stupid?
No, you are dur.
No, you dumb piece of shit.
It's kind of hot, I'm not gonna lie. Seriously, bro.
I don't know where to go. I would like to talk more wrestling, but I don't know where to go from here. Is that a barking dog?
Top of the morning to you.
Oh, here comes Bull Nakano.
Thank you.
Pat Tanaka. And Hakushi.
From Japan.
You knock it off.
Holy shit.
Well, see you later.
I feel like a dick. I've been playing these sounds all night. Nobody enjoyed them.
Nobody could hear them.
Oh, fuck me running.
Fuck you running indeed. Perhaps.
What?
Put a bow on, let's put a bow on anything else from AEW this weekend. I thought Danielson and Shibata was fantastic. If you're a New Japan fan, you will thoroughly enjoy it. No, get down, Nelly. If you're not a New Japan fan, you probably hated it. The Ospreay promo from Dynamite was awesome. I thought
I'm telling you, he's like a megastar. Part of me wishes he went to WWE. Like, because I really think that he would be. I'm telling you right now, his music, his Ospreay rivals Cody Rhodes. Whoa, like it's right there. Like
his song is Ospreay.
Well, no, it takes a little while to get there, but when they do it, the crowd eats it up. I'm telling you right now, he's a megastar, dude. Mega star.
I heard he also cut a promo when they first signed him saying he couldn't wait to go to WWE either.
Yes.
Him and Mercedes were high-fiving each other.
He's going to finish his career in WWE. That's what he said. Jesus and also, Christ. I think Daniel Bryan said that. I think
Jericho.
Kenny Omega also said he was going to go to WWE one day. And Okada, of course, obviously chimed in. And Chris Jericho as well.
Of course, Jericho did. That.
Anything else of note from AEW? There's a tag title tournament going on right now.
Another tournament, eh?
Well, Sting retired, so they have to relinquish the tag titles.
Darby's hurt now too, which is actually kind of a nice little unfortunate escape plan.
Old dangly ankle.
So there was a wild card match on Collision. Winner gets into the tournament, and the Infantry defeated the House of Black with the help of Mark Briscoe.
Wait. Who is the Infantry?
Sean Dean and Carly Bravo. Excuse me.
Who?
Charlie Bravo.
Shield.
Foxtrot.
Sean Dean and Carly Bravo.
Who are they?
They're the Infantry.
Sean Dean sounds familiar. Who's Charlie Bravo?
Carly. Carly Bravo.
Who's Carly Bravo? Yeah, who gives a shit? Who's Bravo?
They're a tag team.
Yeah, they've been around for a
great, great answer.
I don't know what you want, like, the wrestlers.
Who are they? Where are they from? Where would I know them?
Sean Dean has been an AEW guy since almost the beginning.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like a year or two in, wasn't he?
He was like a dark guy.
He's the one that always annoyed me because I'm pretty sure he was the one that was wearing like the singlet, but it wasn't, he didn't use the straps on his, like, they were just like pulled down and he wrestled the entire match with singlet straps pulled down.
Oh, like Cheeseburger Eddie.
He had a spotlight on him for like 3 weeks.
He got a win over MJF by countout.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say Jericho.
He's and then Carly Bravo's from the Nightmare Factory. He started in 2020. He's worked some AEW, a Ring of Honor, their tag team, GCW. He's been there.
I want to say they're both Monster Factory guys. But
and
Carly
what team was the House of Black?
The House of Black team was Matthews and Malachi?
No. Really?
Matthews and King. And King.
Matthews Brody.
Right. But it's obviously to further the feud with Briscoe and his deal with the House of Black.
Yeah, and it was a wild card match, so it gets them into the tournament, and they have to wrestle FTR now.
This is my happy face.
This is your happy face? Yep. Here, Tony, I'm going to hit you with some news that might make you happy.
Ooh, oh, please.
Thunderbolt Patterson.
Jim Ross thinks this will most likely, this will more than likely be his last year as an announcer.
That's kind of a bummer. You don't think?
I thought you would have been happy with that. He's never on fucking TV.
Yeah, but it's like the end of an era. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not really up to the standards that he used to be because he's a grumpy old man, but still kind of sucks. Like, you know, this is the end of the road for JR.
I'm going to say something, and maybe people will agree with me, and maybe they won't. His era ended when he got to AEW.
You don't like the fact that he was calling him out for bullshit?
Look, I don't think he was great when he got to AEW.
Because he was calling him out for bullshit. Zero fucks given JR.
It has nothing to do with... That's what you want, right? If there's bullshit, you want them. I just think...
He was calling out, like, kayfabe, like, not kayfabe bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And he...
Like, he wasn't enhancing anything. He was, like, just calling out bullshit for calling out bullshit.
Like we've mentioned before, like he was like JR podcast, JR on commentary. Whereas like, I will say this though. I will say that like his commentary on Sting's last match pay-per-view at Revolution and even the main event was actually pretty good. So HK, I don't know how you feel about that, but like I thought that he actually rebounded very, very well. And he was actually a pleasure to hear.
So I've always been a fan of JR. Like I've always enjoyed his work. I think he's fantastic. I mean, there obviously you can make fun of him for the sound bites and all that, but as far as like painting a picture, you know, on the play-by-play call, he did a great job. And especially if there was story behind the match you were watching, he added that much more to it. And when he got to AEW, and he's been limited for that. I don't think was there a time when he was calling every Wednesday? It was short if there was.
I think it was before he got the leg cancer during the pandemic, right?
He was on every week.
And I enjoyed his calls, but you could tell even then that he felt like there was story missing. You know what I mean? Like that's the way I felt watching it, and the pace of the matches, like that, it was all too quick, and you could tell it. I don't know if I'm right or not, but it didn't seem like the kind of wrestling that he enjoyed. Just that's the way I perceive, like listening to him call the match. It didn't seem like the kind of wrestling he enjoyed, and I think that took away from his ability to commentate on the matches.
Right, like he would like call people out for like standing outside the ring waiting for a dive. Like he would call like,
and he's not wrong.
Like that, no, he's not wrong. But it's like that's silly. Why would you just do that? Like he's calling out. He was. I think he stepped away from this now because now there's the three man and Excalibur and Tony are more of the play-by-play guys, and he's literally just there to add the garnish. So, like, when he first came in, he was like gung ho, like I'm going to be the main guy. Mm-hmm. But he just literally like called out, like Tony said, called out his own company
for their wrongdoings in wrestling matches, which was just made me really, really not a fan anymore. But I think he came back. I think he's stepped it up.
The big problem always from the beginning was, we talked about it with JR doing his podcast. Like, Tony Schiavone just fucking thinks he's there to have a great time. Like, he's constantly like breaking kayfabe. They look like they're having fun, and like, no, call the match. And Sockface doesn't fucking do him any favors because he jumps right in with him. He's like, yeah, Tony, they're having a great time. He won 45 titles in Japan last year. It's like, nobody cares. Tell the story. You want to build up the guys, give them vignettes. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell the story, man. Like, I get it. JR probably felt like he didn't fit in. He's probably grumpy old JR calling out stupidity, but shouldn't have been calling out stupidity. Like, you're there to sell the product. Sometimes you just got to go, eh. But a lot of the times it's like, even if it looks like dog shit, you got to fucking call it like it's the greatest thing in the world, you know?
Right.
But you can't always put the shine on it, but you kind of have to, like, you know, oh, maybe he didn't get all of it, you know?
Right, but I mean, to your point, like, Tony does that more than enough for everybody.
Oh, he's the fucking worst.
Constantly. He's the worst. You got the greatest matches you'll ever see and the greatest show you'll ever see. Everybody's had, everything's great. You'll never find greater wrestling than this in any greater state, in any greater country, or any greater planet than right here in AEW, because everything's so fucking great.
I mean, he did that with fucking WCW. He did that in WCW too. So let's not act like this is like a new shtick.
He did.
But to further HK though, he also is like egregiously breaking kayfabe every time he talks. Like, he's not telling the story at all. He's just like, hey, having fun. Can you believe it? He didn't even protect himself. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? Just shut up.
But that not protecting yourself can also be construed as kayfabe, because if you're falling, right? Like, if you're falling, you want to protect yourself. Like,
no, you take the move.
That's in regular life. You're trying to protect yourself.
This isn't regular life, dude. This is wrestling. If somebody's giving you a suplex, you got to take the suplex. That's it. Right. You don't give away the magic.
Wouldn't you?
Miss Elizabeth is the secret weapon. She's really a secret weapon.
Bro, her hiney was showing, and them bloomers that she had on. I was distracted.
God damn it.
I was distracted. Bro, she had some fucking stems. Come on now. With them heels on, with them red fucking drawers.
Nothing. She does nothing.
Wait, let me see if I got an animal to fucking make that important. Oh, wait, maybe that's not the one I wanted.
And it's so fucking stupid. Goddamn, Maj, DiBiase, and fucking Hulkster are all wearing potentially less than Liz is. You can see more of them. And all of a sudden, she takes off her skirt and, whoa, ho, ho.
Yeah, but not everybody. Penis, but you gotta remember the thing about...
She didn't have a penis?
Can we write that down? That's in contention.
Like, as much as we love wrestling, like, seeing guys in, like, tights doesn't necessarily appeal to me. It's just something that you just get used to and get accustomed to.
Okay, but when you watch wrestling. Any of the ladies wrestlers by that time.
Yeah, but Liz
look at any of them.
But she was always known for being, like, not like a prude, but she was always covered up. Like, she always had a nice dress on. She always dressed like a proper woman, like a Southern gal would, you know? And then here she is ripping off that skirt and showing them panties. Come on, dude. That was like a oh kind of moment, you know?
Even it caught Jesse off guard.
Caught Andre off guard. Him and his fucking baby in his drawers.
And that was her moment, and that's why Slick is better.
That's why Slick is better. You can't tell me one fucking thing Slick did that stuck with you for the rest of your life.
I remember Tito Santana ripping his fucking shirt off.
How about that?
Yeah, Josh.
He didn't write the fucking song. He just sung it.
He fucking killed it.
He really didn't. Fucking what's his nuts stole that from Captain Chameleon.
He had a fucking character.
What was his character?
No, Slick was a great character.
Right. Liz was fucking nothing.
Oh, come on. Nothing,
Liz was the first lady of professional wrestling.
What I'm not going to go with Hyatt. Nothing, but Slick was better.
Missy Hyatt was fantastic. Missy Hyatt does not get the credit she deserves in what she did in the wrestling industry.
That's a great call.
No, she got a lot more than credit.
Settle that out of court, buddy. We'll never know.
Oh, there was a lot more than that.
NDAs?
Was she with Eddie Gilbert, Road Warrior Hawk, Jason Hervey, Mark Gastineau?
Mark Gastineau, the Jet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exchange?
Yeah, she was with, fuck, who else was she
was,
with?
Was KM on that list, too? I know there might have been a possibility
there. No.
Maybe after, like, later in life, Missy Hyatt?
I don't think so.
Let's see. Missy's a national treasure. She should stay buried.
Dude, in the UWF and World I'm gonna have to listen back to that. I probably still.
Dude, I'm fucking joke. Bobby I'm Heenan this shit. I don't give a shit anymore, man.
Fuck,
she was no she was great in WCCW and UWF, man. She was fucking awesome.
Of course she was. And they brought her in. They brought her in for a cup of coffee in WWE in the 80s and
yeah, 87, right?
They made her interview the Can-Am Connection, and it did not go well.
Missy's Manor.
Yep. I think I still have the WWF magazine where they had the picture of her to advertise Missy's Manor.
Oh, wow.
And it did not last long.
No, it didn't. They taped a bunch of shit.
I think the only episode I remember was the one with the Can-Am Connection. If they had any other ones that they taped and they never aired, I don't know.
Missy's Manor.
Yeah, Missy's Manor. She had like the couch set up with like the.
She's
like,
got,
the living room kind of deal.
YouTube has one with her and Adrian Adonis.
Wait, Adorable or Relax with Trudy, Adrian Adonis? Probably Adorable by that point. Which is probably why they pivoted to the flower shop.
Hi, welcome to Missy's Manor. You know, a few weeks ago when I found out who were going to be my guests, I had to wear pink for them. Please welcome Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart,
yep,
and
Adorable Adrian.
Adrian Adonis.
The crowd
the fuck out of her from day from fucking second.
She was terrible. Oof. That delivery was not good.
Oof.
It's like Dominic Mysterio heat right there.
Dude, there's a YouTube. I guess she has her own YouTube channel.
Oh, what is this? What is it called? Missy's what? Missy's Hideaway?
MissyHyatt.net. She's got the one up there with her and Savage and Elizabeth.
Do they have pictures of her and Sunny with eggs on them?
I'm pretty sure I still have that VHS.
Don't we have the fucking VHS tape?
I have it.
Yeah, I got one over here that allegedly Sonny said that wasn't her autograph. Big surprise.
Dude, she's got all her Missy's Manners are up there. The one with Heenan, the one with Honky Tonk Man.
Wait, Cam Missy Hyatt.net?
Yes.
The Honky Tonk
with an
Man?
E at the end of Hyatt? Oh, wait. Fuck.
Missy Hyatt.net.
Yeah, I put that in. It wasn't coming up. It was like, sorry, this site doesn't exist.
MissyHyatt. This is her account on YouTube.
Oh, it's not her website.
No, I don't think
she has them for sale like I thought on YouTube. There's probably another Linksky McGinksky on there.
YouTube.com at MissyHyattNet. That's where all the shit is.
All the shit.
All the Missy Manor interviews.
What year do you think that profile picture's from?
Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with her, I think.
No. The picture she uses for her YouTube channel.
Oh, that's back in the day, maybe.
That's right.
Back in the day.
Check, Tony, look at your calendar for back in the day.
It's a long time ago, Kev.
Missy 86. I'm not even.
Oh, Missy's Manor. Missy Hyatt interviews Randy Savage and Elizabeth.
I just fucking said that.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was trying to figure out why I wasn't able to open the website. Bro, she interviewed... Oh, my God. She interviewed Ken Patera. No wonder this show didn't last. Holy shit.
I think I follow her on Instagram, too.
Of course you do, you fucking ghoul.
Why? It's Missy Hyatt, man. I want to see what she's up to. I'll get her on the show.
The legend.
Just please do
the
that.
The real Missy Hyatt. Let's see.
She legit is a legend, let's be honest.
Yeah, 100%.
She should, like, if...
Hall of Fame worthy?
She would be in the Hall of Fame, 100%. Easily. Oh, she's looking good.
She roasted Terry Funk?
Oh.
Told him to suck eggs. off of me and Sonny.
I was gonna say, I was wondering if that was a cremation joke, but clearly it was not.
Nope.
Well, it was a cream joke. I don't know about the Asian part.
Easy.
I said a Cadbury. I didn't
say Asian. I said Asian. Relax.
I said easy.
Yeah, where'd you get an Asian? Wait, did you say Haitian or Asian?
It was the second part of cremation.
Oh my goodness gracious!
What, cream Asian, right? Asian. Holy I didn't say Asian. Shit. Stop. Relax.
You know who makes the name of the of these shows?
This guy. Over in WWE world, the road to WrestleMania. We're like 3 weeks out of WrestleMania, guys. Like it's coming. We're coming down the pike here. Jay challenged Jimmy. To WrestleMania 40 match.
I'm coming.
Oh, yeah. Sami Zayn beat Chad Gable to become the IC number one contender. I don't like that.
You, what, well, you want a Gable?
Look. Right, Triple H is doing his thing, whatever. It's a new regime in the WWE. We're trying to make new stars. Gunther has gone as far as he can go as the IC champion, right? So figuring we come out of WrestleMania, we're going to France, we're going to Belgium, we're going to wherever. They're going to Paris, whatever. They're going all over the place. Toronto. So we need a new, we need challengers for these two WWE champions, whoever they are going to be. And Gunther seems like he's in a position where he's done everything he could for the IC championship. It's time for him to go up to the next level.
Right.
Why not? Like the Chad Gable Sami Zayn match was fantastic. I caught the end of it on Raw. Why wouldn't, and there's still time, they could turn it into a three way where it ends up being Chad pinning Sami Zayn so Gunther still looks good. He doesn't lose the title. But why wouldn't you try and, like, I don't think Sami needs the rub, but I think of Chad Gable, why is it so hard for me to speak? Is the guy that dethrones Gunther, you instantly make like a mid-level superstar out of a dude who wrestles his balls off and is very entertaining.
So I disagree with you. In philosophy, I do agree with you. But I disagree with, I feel like Sami Zayn does need the rub again because of that storyline of him losing and then trying to get back to his WrestleMania moment. And I feel like because Gunther is such a big star and Sami Zayn is kind of, he still gets the pops. He still does all that stuff, HK. But I feel like him going up in a singles match, a main singles match at WrestleMania is actually the best case scenario. Chad Gable had a great match with Gunther not too long ago. Tremendous match. But I feel like Sami Zayn is deserving of a top tier singles match at WrestleMania.
I'm not mad at Zayn Gunther at all. Like at all. I do love Chad Gable. I would love to see him with an Intercontinental title run. I don't necessarily know that. Like to double T saying that he's done everything he can do. I don't know that that's the case. Now I think that he should be elevated, but the top of the card is pretty thick right now.
Loaded.
And I don't know that taking the belt off of him right now, ending that, you know, that historic reign is necessarily the way that I would go. I would love to see him carry on with it. If they do make a switch, I would love to see Gable because like Gable's unbelievable. He's super entertaining. I think the only knock that's ever been on Gable is his size. And when you watch him work with Gunther or you watch him work with anybody, his size does not stop him from working any style of match. He is insane in the ring. So I wouldn't mind seeing Gable with an IC title run, but I don't know that, you know, Gunther can carry that and he can build. You know, he can build some guys while defending against them.
Right. And he's really good. And Matt, I know that Otis and Akira Tozawa are in that like a qualifying situation for the tag team ladder match.
Yes.
So I'm wondering now that Gable lost that match, if they just put Gable in over Tozawa and you have Otis and Gable in that tag team ladder match. I don't know who they're fighting, so I'm not going to. I don't know if that's
Kevin is KJG is referencing the undisputed WWF tag team championships will be on the line at WrestleMania in a six pack ladder match. There will be qualifying matches. So tonight on Raw, Otis and Akira Tozawa take on Kofi and Xavier Woods. DIY's Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa face the Creed Brothers. And The Miz and R-Truth will take on Indus Shir in the other qualifying match.
Indus Shir?
Indus Shir?
Oh, Veer and...
Shanky?
Shanky Bottomus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, so then scratch that Chad Gable thing, because if they're playing, New Day is definitely going to be in the match, so they're not going to win that match, so.
But, yeah, I don't know, like, you with like Punk's hurt. If Roman loses, which we all think he's going to, you know, he's probably going to go into that feud with The Rock, so Roman Reigns isn't going to be at the top of the card. Do we instantly turn Seth on Cody, or does Cody get a win under his belt? There's the history with Cody and Gunther from the Rumble 2 years ago. There's also, don't forget, Gunther interrupted Seth Rollins before the Rumble, so there's history there too. And we don't know what Drew McIntyre's contract status is. So your top of the card isn't as heavy as you think. Damian Priest is still running around with the briefcase, but you really have Cody, Seth.
Still pretty good. They've done a good job of like putting people up there, Tony.
Yeah.
Like, so if the Drew McIntyre thing is the wild card. I fully expect Drew McIntyre to beat Seth Rollins if and only if he's under a new deal. And then they'll have the rematch at the next pay-per-view. And then he'll hold it until CM Punk comes back. And if he can remain healthy, CM Punk will beat Drew McIntyre later this year, early next year. So that's how I see things going. But again, that's just my opinion.
Go ahead, Kev.
No, it just all depends on Drew's contract, to be honest with you, in terms of the World Heavyweight Championship.
Still, the top of the card is still not Punk's out. The Roman's going to go away. So you have Cody, you have Seth, you have Drew.
You have Kevin Owens, you have Sami Zayn, you have Jey Uso, you have Jimmy Uso, you have Logan Paul, you have Rey Mysterio, you have
Rey Mysterio.
LA Knight.
LA Knight, AJ Styles, Randy Orton. Yeah. You have top guys still there. It's loaded, dude.
It's fair. It's all great points. But, you know, a lot of those guys are doing other, like, I feel like they've all taken that next step. Right?
Bobby Lashley? Sorry, Matt.
No, with the exception of Jimmy and Jay, they haven't really had a singles run, right? Sammy's had his run. Owens has had his run. Orton is a legend. AJ Styles is a legend. Who better than somebody like Gunther to be the first challenger to Cody's brand new championship?
Oh, I'm not arguing that at all.
Gunther can't lose to Cody.
Why not?
How's he gonna lose to Cody? He's definitely not a first guy.
Now, if they go McIntyre over Rollins, and we see Gunther and Rollins feuding over that championship.
You mean if they go Rollins over McIntyre? You said McIntyre over Rollins.
Because they're both heels, so that would be tough.
Yeah, I know. Figure it out.
Yeah.
I think I would love to see McIntyre and Gunther in a full fledged program. I think that'd be fantastic with Sheamus, like not with Sheamus hanging in the balance, like just those two.
With things hanging in the balance, where are you guys with The Rock's return? Because he brings back the Rock concert Friday night. It's like he's playing the hits, and I guess that's what you want. But at some point, are we just kind of like over it?
Dude, Rock's a star. He comes out, he gets the reaction. You got to let him fucking
roll with it. I'm not saying he's not a star. Look, if I said The Rock wasn't a star, I would expect you guys not to ever do a podcast with me again.
Kick you out of the studio.
But
Stone Cold comes back. He plays the hits. Ric Flair comes back. He plays the hits. That's what they do. Yeah. And the people are eating it up.
I get it. I just am.
And we didn't want babyface Rock against Roman Reigns. We wanted heel Rock, apparently, because this is what we got, and the people are going batshit over it.
Yeah, but heel Rock is, like, cool.
Yeah.
I could have done without the Rock concert. I was all in on him coming back for, like, being a bad guy, all in. I could have done without the Rock concert. Like, be serious, bad guy, fuck Cody Rhodes, Rock, and not, like, corny what we did as a babyface Rock, even though he did it as a heel too, but like oof. I could have done without the Rock concert.
I don't mind him being there. It's not
about him being there. It's him like the Rock concert, like he's a heel and he's supposed to be a badass, but then the Rock concert is eliciting like people giggling and laughing and cheering for him when he's
saying
like,
that I love you.
Taking shot at Cody, you know, taking shot at Seth, your wife's more popular than you are, you know, Dusty's youngest son turned out to be a little too weird, like a Stardust reference. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like what we all envisioned for the Cody Roman feud, like, I think we expected it to live up to the hype that it was last year. And this just kind of feels like, like, they did some great shit, but now it's like, I don't know. I'm just not really fucking excited for it.
I'm with you, man. Like, a lot of the bloom fell off the rose for me, to be honest with you. And I feel like a lot of it has to do with The Rock. Like, they didn't have anything broken. So, like, why try and fix it with The Rock? Like,
And I think part of it is that he's there. He's been on, like, the last three SmackDowns, right?
Right. He's around. But it's just like it's a different vibe that I'm getting, and it's just instinct. It's not anything that he's done wrong, possibly. It's not anything that WWE's done wrong that I know of. I wonder though how much input, and Matt, I think you may have brought this up in like a conversation in the text, how much input he has on creative, if any. And it's just since he's been back, it's been less than what it was before. Like, Cody Rhodes and Roman, that's it. All the story is Cody finishing the story. I get it. Rock is back. He's the biggest star in the world. You have to include him if you can. But as a wrestling fan and not an entertainment fan, it takes away from what Cody and Roman had built. And it's not taking away that much, but like even like the stipulations, Bloodline rule, like that wouldn't have happened if Rock didn't come back. Bloodline rules, like that sort of weird stipulation, Tony, like that wouldn't have happened if Rock didn't come back, I don't think, because it didn't make sense.
Yeah, and it all like, goes back to we actually got an explanation as to why Cody was given up that spot to begin with. We finally got an explanation where Cody was like, The Rock got in his ear and said, this is what's best for business. And he kind of thought about it and he thought, maybe he's right. Maybe this is what's best for business. So he stepped aside. So we actually got, I don't know if you think it's a great reason, but we finally got a reason. So at least we got something. And I do appreciate the sowing of the seeds where The Rock just keeps coming out and saying, I'm the boss. I'm in charge.
Because
you know it's coming to a head with Triple H sooner or later. They've already got the seeds sown. Now, Triple H ain't going to wrestle, but could lead to a power struggle.
It's like a so Bobby Lashley Umanga match. Loser gets their head shaved.
Umanga!
God, this is like, it's becoming way too, I'm not going to say way too, but like, it's more pre, like, Triple H era than it needs to be. Like, it seems like Vince McMahon is booking again, basically is what it comes to.
MB says, Cody is feuding more with The Rock than he is with Roman Reigns leading into Mania, and that's my main issue with The Rock's involvement with this story. Roman feels like an afterthought right now.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
So, you know how, and obviously it's different just based heel and face, but towards the end of Hogan's run in WWE, right, where the fans just kind of quit caring so much about, you know, about him, do you think we're getting to that point now with Roman?
I think we're at that point last year after WrestleMania.
Okay.
I'm going to say no, but I think that The Rock's involvement doesn't help him.
He overshadows.
Yeah, the crowd still pops as soon as that Bloodline music hits. It's insane. And now, good or bad or indifferent, he's a bad guy. The crowd really shouldn't pop. They should just boo him. But he still gets the reactions, 100%.
Yeah, look, I was, you know, when they... You know, it's been a roller coaster since the Rumble, right? We've had Cody's not going to challenge Roman. Cody's going to challenge Roman. The press conference in Vegas with The Rock cursing at Triple H and the slap. Like, there's been really good stuff, but then it's kind of like, again, you know, Matthew Birch makes a great point. Like, who's Cody really feuding with here?
Right. Yeah, the slap to The Rock was good because it was the receipt.
Right, but then The Rock coming out and doing this rock concert on Friday night, like, Roman's not doing fucking rock concerts, you know, it's
out of place.
Yeah, there's a means to an end. We're gonna get our moment at WrestleMania. Cody's gonna win the championship. The Rock's gonna turn on Roman. They'll give us fucking Roman Rock in Cleveland at SummerSlam.
Right, and they painted themselves into like a weird corner that I don't think we've ever seen before, when you have like your legit top guy Roman Reigns, and then all of a sudden the biggest star of all time other than Stone Cold and maybe Hulk comes back. So now you have to use him, and you have to like integrate him into your biggest season of the year. And it's just it started off great, except for him inserting himself into the match, and then him turning heel was great, but it's just like oof. The Rock concert was like they jumped the shark is basically what they did.
Could you have integrated him into Jimmy and Jay?
I would rather him being integrated into Seth Rollins, to be honest with you. I really wanted, once Cody decided he's actually gonna fight Roman, I'd rather Rock challenge Seth and try to build that championship up and be like, hey, like, there's really no story here, but you call this belt? I've held that belt. He was a WCW champion, but, like, I'm going to make this belt something, and then Rollins beats Rock. That's what I would have liked to have happened. But,
and then the problem is, what do you do with McIntyre? You know? There's just so much going on.
Yeah, but if he's not signing a new contract, you can do whatever you want with McIntyre.
True. But McIntyre's also doing some of the greatest work of his career.
Yeah, he is. And they've planted a lot of seeds with him with the, like, you know, I don't think CM Punk getting hurt was in the cards. So I think that really fucked things up for them big time. A couple more things before we wrap up. Thunderbolt Patterson is the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, which is, it's great. It's just a weird class. Like,
very weird class.
Heyman, Bull Nakano, Muhammad Ali, the U.S. Express, and now Thunderbolt Patterson.
Yeah, very strange.
It makes it doubly weird because Heyman's still active, you know? Yeah.
And he's like the biggest heel that they have in the company other than like Roman Reigns. So like he's going to give this like heartfelt speech after SmackDown on Friday in the Hall of Fame induction. Then he has to manage Roman Reigns like...
So yeah. Heyman is kind of the main event of the Hall of Fame right now.
It looks like it, unless they put Bray in at some point.
Unless right, Batista comes back.
Right, but that's just, it is. It's a very strange class. Like, I'm still expecting them to announce, like, a bigger name, I guess. And that takes nothing to take away from the guys that they've announced or you know, the gals they've announced, anything like that, but... It does seem that they've done bigger in the past.
I mean, Heyman in Philly is pretty huge. He's the headliner for sure, I think, Heyman.
Yeah, Heyman in Philly, Bull Nakano's a big get, Muhammad Ali and US Express because of WrestleMania 1. It's WrestleMania 40. Thunderbolt Patterson. That might be a Rock thing. That might be like, hey, this dude was blackballed from wrestling because the promoters were racist, and like he was really good, but he never got an opportunity to shine, so we're going to give him his flowers. I know Tony's favorite phrase. I mean, he had a super, super great career.
Right.
But if we're not wrestling nerds, like, do we know who's, like, the guy that's watching Raw every week, does he know who fucking Thunderbolt Patterson is? There's goddamn people who don't know who fucking Kurt Hennig is.
This is the very Triple H Hall of Fame to me. Like, this is like, I know you said in the text that it's very Rock influenced, but to me, this is like Triple H putting in lesser known people.
Maybe
but that deserve it.
Maybe Thunderbolt Patterson's a Cody Rhodes pick.
He doesn't. He's got the pull.
And but not only that, like Thunderbolt, you know, Dusty with the promo style, Lisp and all. Yeah, that's Thunderbolt Patterson. Not to mention, Thunderbolt was also in Georgia and, NWA World Championship Wrestling when Dusty was there, involved with the Andersons, involved with the whole kickoff of the Four Horsemen.
His catchphrase was, we gonna get funky.
Yeah, well, you know, how could you not get funky in the Hall of Fame?
Fair enough.
It's a great call, Tony.
And then maybe it flew under the radar for you guys. I'm not sure, but Shayna Baszler will be wrestling at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport WrestleMania weekend. That's pretty huge, you know, WWE contracted wrestler working independent shows during Mania weekend.
It's definitely, they're evolving in terms of how they do their business, which is something that's
I think it's more a favor, though, for Josh What's-His-Nuts, because apparently, I think him and Triple H are pretty close, and Shayna Baszler was involved with him somehow or other in the past.
Yeah, I think she was on the first Bloodsport.
So there you go. So it kind of makes sense.
She's friends with Josh Barnett because she's an MMA fighter before she was a pro wrestler.
But aren't there talks of more stuff like this happening? Like, aren't more wrestlers from WWE supposed to be working with GCW? I thought I read that. I could be totally wrong. But I thought that GCW and WWE are now going to start form some sort of working relationship.
If they start bringing fucking light tubes out on fucking Raw, I'm done.
Yep.
Dunzo Magunzo.
With all due respect to the GCW roster, I don't think any GCW wrestlers will be showing up on Raw or SmackDown. I think it's the other way. I think it's them showing up in GCW for a one-off, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Who gets Nick Gage first?
Shayna Baszler.
Amos.
Almost?
Almost.
Oh, Amos, the cookie guy.
I thought he was mispronouncing Anos.
Anos.
John Stamos.
Quick hit on TNA. We have our main event for TNA Rebellion. April's going to be busy with picks, guys. So many fucking picks in April. Two nights of WrestleMania, Stand and Deliver, Ring of Honor Supercard, TNA Rebellion, AEW Dynasty. Oh, my God. Picks out the yin yang. But Nick Nemeth is going to challenge Moose for the world title at TNA Rebellion. Also, Kevin's boy is now a tag team champion, Brian Myers.
Yeah, baby. He's got that gold back. Love it.
I also read, since I know it's not TNA, but Nick Nemeth also getting another title shot since your boy Vikingo Jr., whatever the hell his name is, broke something and he had to relinquish his Champion de Champions title. It's going to be Alberto El Patron against Nick Nemeth at Triple Mania or some shit.
Triple Mania.
Whatever. As if Vampiro's not there farting on commentary, he's not fucking...
Whoa!
Play my fucking music!
New Japan notes, Gabe Kidd re-signed, and Yoda Tsuji and Hiroki Goto is the finals of the New Japan Cup.
Awesome.
If anyone was in... David Finley was supposed to wrestle Hiroki Goto, but he had to miss the match because he was sick. So I feel like it was going to be Tsuji and Finley in the finals. But if Tsuji wins, that makes a great story with Naito, since they're LIJ stablemates. And maybe we can move in the right direction with New Japan because this last 2.5 months has been fucking rough. Real rough.
Are people still butthurt about Matt Riddle?
Look, man, it's just, I don't know. I don't understand why you're putting championships on people who aren't ever there. Like, Nick Nemeth isn't there. Matt Riddle's not there.
Tony Khan told him to.
Eddie Kingston's not there. Like, what are we doing here, guys? Gesundheit, Tony.
Sorry, I'm a little boogery.
It's okay. You are allowed to be boogery. So that was just a little this and that with TNA and New Japan. I know we're running. It's running late, so it's 9:30. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I don't know if Tony had any time to look at that NDA I sent you. If you want to,
I mean, I did, but it looks like I don't know why did she reach. The question is, why did this woman reach out to AEW? He was
working there at the time.
Yeah, but was he doing something like I don't know, like the only reason that they would give a shit is if she brought up or knew something about AEW business, you know?
That's, I mean, it's shady that they decided to pay her $40,000 and sign an NDA.
Yeah.
Is that weird or is that a common thing that happens in business?
No, there had to have been some reason for that, to protect some information that they don't want to get out.
Right. It doesn't necessarily, the fact that it involves BJ Whitmer obviously leads you to believe that it's something nefarious, but NDAs in amongst themselves are not uncommon.
Is it like, I just thought about this. Do you think she knows what happened with Punk and Omega and the Bucks because Whitmer was there for that and she has that knowledge? Do you think that is...
Maybe that's a possibility.
Like maybe, but then again,
Chris Jericho didn't sign an NDA though, right? Like, why wouldn't they tie him down?
Maybe he's gonna make a Fozzy song out of it.
I don't know.
NDA.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe it comes out, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, but yes, I do agree. It's pretty shady. There had to have been something that she was. Maybe if she wasn't even holding it over their head, maybe they realized, oh shit, she knows X, Y, and Z. Maybe we need to do something here. You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's really weird. Hey, can I drop a little knowledge on you about the upcoming season of Dark Side of the Ring? I don't know if I want to spoil it, though. You guys want to be spoiled? You want to be spoiled?
What do you got for me, feller?
Well, Jim Cornette every year interviews usually one or two, if not both, of like the head guys behind the Dark Side of the Ring series. So he got a little preview of all the episodes. And one of the upcoming subjects actually worked as a dancer for Chippendales and may or may not have been arrested for being a gigolo. Which superstar are they profiling that it might be? I don't know. You want to play the guessing game?
I mean, they already did Buff.
Did you, KJG, did you watch Buff?
I did watch Buff.
HK?
Watched it twice.
Do you believe that he didn't know what was going on Showtime when he showed up for that fucking show?
I think he is absolutely full of shit every way you can cut it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Shane Helms called him out on it, too, by the way.
Throughout the entire episode. And, like, the first time I watched it, Molly caught some of it with me. And, like, not even thinking out loud, I said, fuck you. And she's like, what? And I was like, this guy's so full of shit. He's going to be the biggest wrestling star ever? Fuck off, man. Never was he going to be the biggest wrestling star ever. And the other thing about it, too, like, I couldn't, all respect to Missy Hyatt, couldn't stand her in this episode. Couldn't stand. Oh, he is Fabu. Missy, you should be a scout. Shut up. You fucking Buff Bagwell, you were never going to be the biggest star. Was never going to happen. I don't know. Like, how delusional is this motherfucker? It's just bad luck. He's just had bad luck his entire... No, he made bad fucking decisions. That's what he's done. Go have your mom hold your dick skin and shave your balls, jack off.
Scott George, write that down.
Not Scott George.
Whatever.
Eric Freed.
Fucking Eric, like, Freed. There you go. And like I didn't mind Buff.
A plug for Nattering with E, by the way.
As a performer, didn't mind it. But then like he's like, oh, and then I wrestled one match, in WWE? I didn't think it was a bet. Yeah, fuck you, man. You got fired because your mom called in sick for you. You're a fucking adult. Grow up. No, just bad luck. I've just had bad luck. No, you fucking haven't.
Oh, so you're man. big Buff Bagwell fan.
Buffy Bags, baby.
I enjoyed him as a performer, and I still enjoy his work as a performer. Like, I can go back and watch Buff stuff and enjoy it. But as far as, like, the bullshit that he is spewing, it fucking blows my mind. It blows my fucking mind.
That Kevin KJG is doing. I did not know Scotty Riggs was living out of his fucking car.
His name is Riggs.
I think it's the podcast from his car.
He likes to call it his mobile home.
Yeah, I think as we were talking to him, he was getting gas and then just took a nap.
We've had the American Males on our show. It's funny, HK, long before you were part of the Wizards, he came on the show and lied to us, and it ended up in a press release, and then later was interviewed by somebody, and they played that clip back, and he backpedaled like a cornerback that just signed.
Oh, and they asked Eric Bischoff about it. Eric Bischoff was like, "I've never talked to this man about this.
He's full of shit."
He just it was got a, good a lot of views.
Yeah,
I mean, I watched it twice just because like I wanted to go back and make sure I didn't miss something. Like in the end, where he was like, "Ha, gotcha." No, gotcha. He believes the bullshit that he's spewing.
I mean, I think he is a wrestler. In one aspect that I feel like he could have been a big, huge. He could have been world. If Scott Steiner wasn't in WCW, Buff Bagwell would have been world champion eventually.
Babyface Marcus Alexander Bagwell. Like, I was a huge fucking fan of that when he teamed with Scorpio and they were a tag team.
Yeah,
they were awesome.
He was also with the Patriot before that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, after that.
And I liked American Males when he fell in with the NWO, like he was just another member of the B team, like
good old Buffy Bags.
I never even took it seriously at that point.
He was part of the B team, but he was a star of the B team.
Yeah, he was like in between. He was like in NWO purgatory between. No,
Vincent was the star of the B team.
It's like being a Ring of Honor champion.
Yep.
Tony, I think, sorry, KJG, I don't want to cut you off there, but I think, Tony, your gigolo might be the beefer, buddy.
I guess you'll have to find out, won't you?
I will. What were you going to say, KJG, before I cut you off?
Oh, no, I was saying because, like, they definitely still had a lot of high hopes for Buff, and when they formed that NWO Elite, like, Buff was included in that. So, like, with him, Steiner, Hall, Nash, Luger, Hogan...
somebody's got to take a pin.
He's like, Dad, can I get some more Coke? You got any more of that Coke laying around, Dad? Did you buy me a new Ferrari?
They still had the black and white. They still had Horace. They still had Stevie Ray. They still had Vincent. They still had Scott Norton. They were the ones that were taking the pins.
It's a good one, Tony. I think you'll enjoy it. And then tomorrow, this week, we got Terry Gordy, Final Flight of the Freebird.
How do you know it's not Terry Gordy who's the gigolo?
You know what? That's a great question.
Guys have to enjoy the season and find out.
Are you talking about the gigolo or are you talking about the masked stranger?
No. The person I'm talking about was an actual Chippendales dancer and was an escort.
And it's not Buff Bagwell. It's somebody else who's featured in this season of Dark Side of the Ring.
Speaking of somebody else, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You heard back from Ron Bass Jr. yet?
I was just going to say, we'll see if Ron Bass Jr. is on the show next week. He's agreed to it. But we haven't crossed the T's and dotted the I's, so it could just be the old Wizards in the house. KJG, are you with us next week?
I am not.
All right, so no KJG next week. And I know Brundon is going to fill in for Tony on April 1st.
Oh, nice. That's my dad's birthday. So, like, goddamn.
What'd you throw in your mouth, dude?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm tired, we can talk about it later. You got to do birthday stuff. You got to do birthday stuff. It's not a big deal. We got Ron Bass Jr. next week. We got Missa Kate in 2 weeks. We got our WrestleMania show the Monday after WrestleMania. The Wizards are rocking and rolling. At Wizards Podcast on all forms of social media. Turn them notifications on and get them votes in for Mania Madness. We're down to the Sweet 16. There's been a couple upsets. A couple sevens beat a couple twos. A couple sixes beat a couple threes.
Yep.
It is crazy and wild, and I fixed the graphics. You can always go back and watch the revealing of the fields and, you know, look at me be a dum-dum.
Dum-dum!
The dum-dum. But that's it, man. This was a lot of fun. Special thanks to Kyle from the Apron Bomb Podcast, Dave Sturcio from Chop Sports Media, and Fight Factory Wrestling. July 16th is a Tuesday night. That works great with my schedule. So we'll see if I can get down to Mattel. What's it? Mattel's?
Martell's.
Like Rick Martell. His tiki bar in Point Pleasant. To check out the Fight Factory. And this weekend, they'll be at ISPW with the showcase episode with Kayla Sparks, who was on Rampage last Friday night, friend of the show. So that's all I got.
Wow. Thanks to the 101 people watching still, hanging out.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah. That's all the Curve Crafter 5000.
Hell yeah. They want to know where to order it.
You have to go watch the video. Hit the... Yeah. I think that's off. It, right? I got
that's it.
We're
good. This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. Your executive producers are Manny Kratzo and main event Mike Peterson. Our producers are Danny Russoniello, Kate Hensler, Matt Garifo, Hi Five, Tom, Ryan Schlong, Brendan Haney, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, William Mercier Jr., Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, and Keith Parker. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Nice.